E Extra Life 2015. Hey everybody, welcome to the Overseas Connection, episode 344 for November the 7th, 2015. The Overseas Connection is the official podcast of the G4TE.com community.
.com.
Late night viewing. My name is Fraser. I'm standing in for the one and only legend and hero, Greg DeLacy, who is off doing Extra Life. But I am joined with some of my fellow comrades. The nicest man on the internet is here tonight, Mr. Mark Wright.
Hello, Fraser. Hello, everyone. Mark Annex here on Xbox Live Steam, PSN, Twitter, everything. M-A-R-K-A-N-I-X. Glad to be here again. Second week in a row after having a bit of a break.
Yeah, how are you doing, Mark?
Right? Yeah, I'm very well, thanks. I've just apologies to anyone in the Twitch chat today, because I'm doing my virgin run of hosting the Twitch stream, because both Rich and Greg are not here. So
I'm sure you will do sterling service until it just goes blank.
Yeah. Right? When it goes wrong, I'll just get blamed. Like we blame Bongo.
Yes, good old Bongo. Yeah. Also joining us is a veteran of podcasts himself, Mr. Stuart Fowler from the Veteran Gamers.
Hello, how are you? Are you good?
I'm great, Stuart, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. Looking forward to it. Do you know what? It's interesting because last week you were helping out on our show over at the Veteran Gamers, and you said you'd never been on a whole show with the Veteran Gamers. Well, I've never been on the Overseas Connection until tonight. So there you go.
Haven't you? I thought you'd been on before.
No.
Wow.
No.
I'm surprised at that. Where have I heard you doing a full show then before? If it wasn't... Oh, I think I've heard you on Boss Wave.
I have, but I've never... As far as I can recollect, I might have been on Saying Hello, but I can't recollect ever being on a whole show of the Overseas Connection. So there you go.
Hey, it's that's a interesting. Nice.
I'm excited.
Good. Well, you're not the only one who's breaking their Overseas Connection virginity tonight, because we also have new to the gaming podcast community, upcoming legend himself. It's from Boss Wave, Mr. Richard Natras.
Good evening. How are we all?
We're all the better for seeing you, Rich.
No one's ever said that in life at all, but I appreciate it.
Now, you haven't been on the Overseas Connection.
No, I've just about finished the whole Boss Wave as well, so...
Yeah, now see, the cross-pollination of people on podcasts is really taking off now, so you've... actually, have you been on anything else? Boss Wave is your new jam.
Yeah, I did a very, very brief stint on the same coin, which ultimately led to my Boss Wave slot, so yeah, this is now my third, so I'm starting to... Raise them all it up by getting round them all. So
I think you're streaks ahead, Rich. Though you know how many? Do you know how many hours and episodes I had to put in on like this, the bog standard podcast, before I started whoring myself out to the other ones? You're doing straight in, no messing around. Now, anyway, one thing we did want to ask you was, you have recently had a very busy time of it. You've become a father again.
I have indeed.
Yes, congratulations. Yes.
Thank you very much. Last Friday in the semi-early hours of the morning, my second son, my little Jasper, appeared, rocking in at £8.2. So, yep, he is obviously amazing, and because being a dad's the best thing in the world, as you know, you guys with kids will understand. So yep, very, very happy man right now. So life is very much on the up.
I loved it on the Boss Wave when the guy said, "Have you got your extra DLC yet from your wife?" I've never heard a baby being referred to as DLC before.
And you know how you can tell you're getting... you're an old hand at it as well, because you didn't even have to be prompted for the weight, which I had down here that I was going to ask. See, I'm well moving away from that being interested in children phase. So I'm forgetting about the questions to be asked. So I knew to ask the weight. 8'2", that's a fighting weight, isn't it? That's a good weight. That's above average.
Yeah, he was a big lad, bless him. So, I mean, obviously, so far this week, I've probably been asked the name and weight question. I probably saw it on 50 times. So I think exactly, I've got that auto response already. Name right. and weight straight out. So, so yeah, I've got it down pretty much pat now.
And actually, very good.
Just speaking of babies and impending births, just a little bone to pick with one of our fellow hosts tonight, Mr. Fowler. Who?
Oh yeah, what have I done now?
Questions my commitment somewhat to the podcast.
Oh, I might have done that. Yeah, I might remember.
Yeah, having a week off when she's not quite had the baby. So
what's up? Yes. Wow.
Well. It's just an excuse to have a week off, Stu. So, you know, to quote Duke's
with a better
sound effect,
next time, that's what I'm saying.
Well, to be fair, I turned up the week later when he's still not been born, and now I'm doing it, and he's actually out. So I took it on the chin, and I've not had any more time off. So
anyway, here's a question. What are the plans for teaching him to game then? You know, have you got a strategy in place for that already?
Well, I'll probably say he'd be a lot better than me. So I think I'll leave his gaming skills to my two eldest, who can pretty much kick my ass on most games. So, yeah, I'm not the best master. So
you have two eldest children, another son and a daughter?
No, there's two elder boys, which I got as part of a bundle when I got the missus.
Is that a pre-order bundle?
Yeah, exactly. Oldest most special shop. So
I'm in a similar shift to you, but I got pre-order bundle two grandchildren as well as my own grandchild.
So yeah, got those two, which are, you know, them two are my sons in everything but blood. Mm. And then I've got two boys of my own making. So unfortunately, my missus is now overpowered by 5 men in the house. I can't even count. So
check your trousers there, Richard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
five. I've been using the baby brain excuse for weeks now.
I think you need to tie a knot in it, mate. Jesus Christ.
Well, there may be plans afoot to stop my breeding abilities anyway.
Good Lord, I thought he was going to say plans afoot for another one then, for a second. Oh, Jesus Christ.
No. I think 4's enough, I think.
Yeah, I definitely think 4 is enough.
You could go for another one and have a 5-side team.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether to say your poor missus or poor you, four boys. I can't even begin to fathom that. Yeah, so you might, you're considering then a bit of the old snippety snip there, Richard. It might not be a bad idea.
Yeah. I think it's time. Just the look my missus gave me when as soon as he came out, she looked at me as if to say, "That's going, mate."
Yeah, you do that to me again, you're dead.
Yeah, exactly. If I have to chop the whole thing off myself, it's going to go. So it's up to you.
Might be cheaper. Too far. Right
now. Well,
to be fair, if you don't fancy the anaesthetic, there was some dude at one point had a vasectomy done under hypnosis. So there you go. No anaesthetic at all. He just went for the snip and just hypnotized himself to block out the pain.
No. I'm happy to put all the drugs, thank you.
Is there a deathly silence in this?
I know, yeah, that was like thinking about it. Shit, man. Cutting down there.
Every male in the chat is all sort of like crossing the legs right now as well.
True. Some dude did it. He was crazy.
Now, speaking of the chat, do we have it? I'm behind here. I haven't logged into Twitch. I couldn't find it. I was logged into the wrong thing. I was logged into Greg's Extra Life. So we'll just find. Do we have anyone in the chat right now?
Yeah, we do. We do, apparently. Yeah. We've got Bongo the Sane in there, of course, because he's always around, isn't he? Bless him. We've got Teflon 12, Natras 79, of course. He's on the call, I think, isn't he? He's on the show. What's all that about? RCGC and Veteran Gamers, which isn't me. So there's someone.
Well, must be Chinny.
Either Chinny or Duke is watching, possibly.
Nice. Okay. So. Thanks for that. Look at that, Stu. You've dropped straight into. You might as well be paid for this. Look at this.
What can I say?
So let's talk a little bit of why Bongo the Sane is not here. Greg's not here. They are all doing Extra Life.
Yeah. Also, we've got Kim doing it. We've got Oh, we don't have Chinny doing it this year, do we? Because of his house moved.
He's got commitments, apparently.
Yeah. Now he's got a house. He's got to move a sofa. He can't even make your show, can he?
I know. He's rubbish. but no, I think he's actually working. He was working today. Yeah. He was covering a football match. Aston Villa, I think it was. Yeah. So he was working today. And I think he's possibly working tomorrow as well. So he's a busy lad.
Yeah.
He's got a mortgage to pay and stuff.
We've got the VGHub.net team captain, Greg's best mate, Gary De Felice. He's organised it all again this year and he's doing it. I'm sadly not doing it this year because I've got a lot of family stuff going off at the moment. So I'm giving it a miss this year. But I will be donating to the guys later on tonight after the show sometime. Who else is doing it, Fraser? Do you know anyone else doing it? I can't think off the top of my head.
I think you've hit all the names. I know there's a few people I follow who are doing it that not part of this community. But it's very popular. I was explaining it to my wife this afternoon. And, people are gaming 24 hours to raise money for Extra Life, which is a children's charity as far as I'm aware. I don't know. I just throw money at it and press send.
Yeah. It was originally... worldwide, they used to cover UK hospitals as well, but they've stopped doing that, sadly, which I'm a bit upset about, but it's still a good cause. It's basically all the young kids in hospitals all over who are really poorly, like on cancer wards and stuff. It provides entertainment for them and keeps them sort of like, occupied and happy. It provides gaming consoles and games and everything, as well as obviously vital equipment to the hospital, so it's a really good cause. And it's getting more popular every year. They're raising lots and lots of money.
It does seem to be. Good. Now, if these hospitals were very smart and had perfect timing, if they came round to my house at just the right time as I hit the rage, they could walk away with a number of consoles. I threatened to get away from my children. Yeah. But
you want to tell them,
very good.
You want to tell them about your library.
That's true.
But they get loads of games from there.
I would definitely consider giving away some consoles to your hospitals.
Yeah, really, I remember when... My youngest son, when he had some issues with he's got Crohn's disease, and when he was about 14, he had to have an emergency operation, and he was really poorly. And the children's hospital was fantastic here, and they had an Xbox, the original, I couldn't say Xbox One, but it's the original Xbox on the ward at the time. And I'd just got my 360, so I donated about 4 or 5 different games, the original Xbox games, to them, and they were really appreciative. So it does help, it does make a big difference.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Okay, so let's power on then through. I can't think of the poor children anymore. let's power on and talk about what we've been playing. Who would like to start? Let's start with one of our guests, shall we? Richard, have you had any time for? Are you getting any sleep? That's one of the questions I meant to ask. How was the?
He's pretty good, to be quite honest with you. He's a man after my own heart, and he does love his kip. He likes to feed and sleep, so we've been fairly lucky this time. And the last one was a nightmare. He didn't want to sleep, but no, little Jasper, he loves a nap like his dad, so it's been pretty easy on us. But on the flip side, I do get a slight bit of paranoia when a baby first comes out, and I feel the need to watch them the entire night. So instead of going to sleep, I just drink a lot of coffee and spend all night sat up just watching them, and then every now and then just sort of touching the chest. Yeah, still breathing.
Yeah.
And still breathing. Which, thankfully, even though it drove me slightly insane, has given me quite a lot of time to play some games. So, I've been playing...
You haven't been sort of like angling a 40-inch LCD on top of the crib or anything?
Well, he's only small, so I can kind of rest him on my knees and then hold my pad just in front of him. So I've pretty much got the technique down pat, so I'm laughing, really. So, I've been playing one of my favourite series of games, the mighty Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Ooh.
I want to play this. I've still got bloody Unity up there, still in its box, not played that.
Yeah, leave Unity in its box and then burn it. Because...
I can't, it was a Christmas present last year from my mum.
Yeah, for everything that I could fault with Unity, they seem to have sorted out Assassin's Creed this time.
That's good to know.
Unity, the way I saw it was the first Assassin's Creed on your sort of big next-gen powerful machine. So what they wanted to do was just show that off. They wanted to make it look beautiful, have hundreds upon hundreds of people milling their way through the streets just to show the power of the actual console rather than concentrating on what is the core dynamic of gameplay on Assassin's Creed. They wanted just to make a beautiful game. Now, that ruined the game. I mean, apart from the fact that it was massively broken because they just made a shit game.
Yeah, people were walking around without faces was a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
At least there was a few thousand of them, but they didn't have faces, which is a little bit of a...
Yeah, falling problem. Through walls, not being able to climb through windows. It was just, I don't know, maybe this bringing it out every year is probably wrong. Even as an Assassin's Creed fan, I think...
Have you not had any of that so far in this game? Because we found that just on the demo at EGX that there was issues of that nature. Because Ginny fell through a roof into a room below.
Yeah, I mean, I played at EGX, and I mean, I punched through a person and got my arm stuck like halfway through the body. So I was nervous. You know, I've got to admit, I was nervous, and I wasn't going to buy this first day. So I managed to resist buying it first day and bought it second day instead.
Oh, yeah, that makes a difference.
Yeah, because yeah, normally...
Was there a huge patch at release? Was there some big, massive patch when they released it?
Oh, God, yeah, yeah.
Most games do that now, don't they?
Yeah,
it seems to be. Yeah,
but
and what kind of price drop did you get for waiting a day?
Oh, I think it went down about £1. I paid 43 rather than 42. So, the wise man waits is a decent way of looking at it. But I mean, is it glitchy? Of course it is. It's Assassin's Creed.
Of course it is.
what more do you expect?
But every Assassin's Creed game I've ever played has been glitchy, but. It's not as glitchy as Unity, but it's got the odd one or two little glitches. But they're not game breakers. I mean, Unity had so many glitches that it broke the game. It ruined playing the game, whereas this is not. So, for me, they've gone back...
Oh, yeah, I mean, you don't know, do you, I don't suppose?
Well, I'm only probably 3 or 4 hours in, so I've got a long way to go. But so far, it's been so good. I mean, I don't know if anyone's played much Assassin's Creed, but on... Assassin's Creed Blood, which for me is the best Assassin's Creed, They had a game dynamic where you would take over Templar Towers, and each time you took over one of these towers, you would pretty much own that little bit of the map. Now, they brought this back again, and obviously it's in the old London town, so what it is all the boroughs of London, Westminster, etc., and you're taking over each borough because the Templars they basically own London, and you have certain missions in certain areas which vary up, and each time you complete a mission, you then take over that part of the map and you own it, and that's the way you can take over the map. I mean, one big change as well, which I mentioned on the Mighty Boss Wave, which everyone can listen to whenever they want, was that...
Plug.
Yeah, well, I've got a plug.
Yeah, you got it. Of course you do.
The map itself, I mean, the way I describe it on Boss Wave was... The map on Unity almost was like someone had eaten 1,000 icons and then been sick on the map.
Oh, yeah.
And icons are everywhere. Yeah. You look at the map and it did your head in before you even started. Whereas this, they seem to have stepped back a bit and just looked at the more simpler things on why Assassin's Creed. And for me, going back and doing that has worked. Enjoying this game. I'm playing this game again with a smile on my face because I'm a big Assassin's Creed fan. And it's an Assassin's Creed game that I've wanted to come back since Brotherhood, to be honest. So I'd definitely pick it up, Mark. Mm. Like I say, I'd throw Unity away because it's shit.
Yeah, I think it'll be I think it's a running thing now. For the last sort of like 4 years, my mum's always got me an Assassin's Creed game for Christmas. So it's become a bit of a tradition. So I keep annualising it, don't I? So.
But yeah, it's more Assassin's Creed. You can't say too much more about it. But
I don't mind that. I actually like the game. Even the first one I enjoyed, it was got a bit boring in places, a bit repetitive, but like I say, 2 and Brotherhood, they were the highlights for me. I love the franchise.
Stu, were you an Assassin's Creed fan?
I played and finished 1, 2 and Brotherhood, and then I've played other more of the games since then, but I haven't really finished any of them.
Now, did you tailor off then because you just maybe just had enough, or...
Well, 3 was a bit shit.
Yeah, I thought 4 was a good comeback from 3, though.
Black Flag was pretty good, wasn't it? Yeah. I played quite a lot of that. But I just kept bored, because they're just so big.
Yeah, the huge games, aren't they?
Yeah, and I just find them a bit tedious, all the collecting shit. You know what I mean? Like collecting feathers or collecting whatever the hell it is. I'm just like, I've had enough now.
Yeah, see, I sort of think the same along those lines. But then I also know that it's very, very, it's a fine line between not enjoying that at all to the game suddenly getting its hooks into you and you're done. And the OCD part of you just takes over and you're like, I love it. And you're driven to do all that stuff. So I guess if you are like Rich and Mark might be again, then that's great.
Yeah, but the other thing I think as well is that with Assassin's Creed 2 and also Brotherhood, I thought the stories in both of those games were really strong. And I liked the characters and the voice acting and the dialogue was pretty good. And I really enjoyed the stories more than the actual collecting shit. Whereas I don't feel like since then they've really had a strong storyline that's kept. Because for me, it's more about the story than the game mechanics. And I don't feel that I've had that strong story connection with the more recent games that have hooked me in. Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of missing.
I think Ezio was a great character for me. I really enjoyed playing as Ezio. He had a great personality and cheekiness to him, and we've not had anything like that since, really.
No, and it was interesting. You know, they were interesting. I think what was interesting for me, especially with Brotherhood, was that when that was originally announced, it was just kind of going to be a bit of an expansion. So it was never really going to be a fully fledged Assassin's Creed game, and then they kind of expanded on it, and when it came out, it was a full game, and it was probably my favourite of the series.
Yeah.
Really. So, yeah. So there you go. But, yeah, I mean, what about the story? Is the story in Syndicate any good? You know what I mean? Well, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I think the story is pretty solid. Again, like Mark's saying, about Ezio was a good character. It seems like a good character in this. You've got two. You've got Jacob and Evie. So you've got a lovely female protagonist, which is obviously somewhat a rarity in gaming. So you have got that sort of mix-up of two different characters to sort of get used to. I mean, they do play in slightly different ways. Evie is more of your stealthy sort of ninja-style assassin, where Jacob is more of your brawler. So it does add that sort of dynamic of when you're looking at how you're going to do a mission, would it be best to get in there and start fighting? You'd probably go with Jacob. Is it going to be better to sort of sneak around and do your parkour and assassinate from the rooftops? Then you're going to go with Evie. So it does add that sort of mix-up of element in there. And I think also with it being London, I mean, I know that Fraser there is now official Canadian, but, you know, we're all from England here. So having it set in England, I think, does add something to it, because you can see ye old England back in Victorian days and you can see the landmarks and it means something a little bit more to you. So I think the story has got me hooked in, to be honest. It is a lot more interesting than the Unity story. Unity story I couldn't give a crap about. Assassin's Creed 3, was there a story to that? It was boring. So they just seem to have done things right. They've thought about what they're doing and they've got back to basics, and I can't fault it. So, I mean, I recommend picking it up, but maybe I'm biased because I am an ass fan, as they call it.
You said it.
Okay, yeah, I mean, That is that in a nutshell, really. I mean, the other game mainly I've been playing is Mad Max. Has anybody else had a go on this one?
No, I won't. This is another game I want to play, but I've just not got time or the money at the moment.
For me, this is one of these games that I'm hearing murmurings that it's okay. I haven't heard anybody say it's bad. I don't think it's as great as everyone's saying, but tell us otherwise, Rich. What do you...
Well, the first couple of hours of the game, it's got some nice... Got some nice mechanics. Fighting's pretty decent in a not quite Metal Gear way, but there are quite a lot of bases you can move upon. You kind of scout the base, the best way to sort of infiltrate the base. Then you'll get in there, destroy this base, and again, you'll sort of get the threat levels down in that area, and that'll help you start controlling a map again. It's quite a big map. And for the first few hours, it is quite good. You know, it's quite like Mordor in its sort of combat system. You have some nice finishes. There's some nice upgrades you can do. You upgrade your car. There's a big story about the car. Upgrading your car by collecting scrap or scavenge from around the zones. You upgrade your guy a little bit, upgrade your weapons, etc. But after you've done probably four or five of these bases, this game gets so, so samey.
Ooh.
And that is the problem. For the first, like I say, three-odd hours, I was into this game. I was really loving it. But I've got to the point now where it's just like, oh, great, I'll go into that base. I'll kill that guy. I'll have a fight with those guys. I'll have a look around to blow up certain petrol tanks. And that's what every base just seems to be. Repeat after repeat after repeat. I mean, even between the bases, you get a bit of a car battle thing going on with the Wild Boys, or come on, the Mad Max guys, sort of attacking in the car. So you've got a bit of a car combat system. But again, it's fun for a bit, but once you've done it 20 times, it really loses interest pretty quickly. And I struggle to pick the game up again now. You know,
Is there any multiplayer element to it or anything like that?
Not that I know of, but if there was, I wouldn't even look at it anyway, because multiplayer is not my bag. And I suppose multiplayer would add a little bit something to this game, because you know, you'd be out in the open getting your car combat against real people, which would make the fights maybe a bit more interesting. And if people set up their own base, and you can invade people's bases, then, yeah, maybe that would add something to the game. But as it is,
Sounds a bit mediocre there. Mark, still on your radar from what you're hearing?
Now, after hearing that, I'm glad it's going to be a bargain basement pickup for me. Because I'm only going to get it when it's on sale.
Yeah.
And you're going to hate me for this phrase, but same with Metal Gear. I really want to play that, and it is on my radar, but because of the finances and everything, and me and Greg's just gone halves on Tomb Raider, which is out on Tuesday, Metal Gear's going to be on the bag investment list as well.
Well, you know what? That's fine. You can't... Yeah. It's trying to fit them all in is different. Yeah. There's a lot of... It's been a really good year for releases.
Yeah, I've not even...
And the season is now. Yeah, it's pretty good.
I've not even touched Halo 5 yet.
No.
Witcher 3 is killing it for me. It's crazy.
And that's a good thing, you know, if you've hit a game that's going to give you that amount of enjoyment. Yeah. So, you know, there's no real problems with that.
How many hours you pumped into The Witcher 3 so far, Mark, would you say?
So far, about 80. Yeah. And I'm just sort of like, on the sort of like last bit. It's not really spoilers. There's like three main sort of like generals in the world that you've got to take down. I've taken one down. I've got two more to go. But every time you try to find one, there is a long, convoluted storyline to get to this guy. So there's still a few hours left in it. I reckon it'll be over 100 hours when I've finished.
Stu, we'll get sidetracked here. But Stu, you're a bit of a Witcher 3 player too, aren't you?
I am, yes. I'm probably more up to around 120 hours, I guess.
Yeah.
Nice.
In the game, I've obviously finished the main story quite a while back now, and I've just finished this week the Hearts of Stone expansion, so that's done and dusted now as well. And I've done the side missions associated with that as well, so I've done pretty much everything that's in that. But I've kind of got to a point now where I'm struggling, really, because I'm sort of level 37. I've just got some new cool armor that's part of the expansion, but I can't put it on because it's a level 38 armor. Yeah. But because I've finished all of the main story missions, all of the side quests that are at the same level as I'm at, I can't get any experience points now at all, hardly.
No, you don't get experience for killing random enemies, do you?
No, and the only experience I can get from doing the missions I've got left, I've got about something like 600 more experience points to get to level 38. But to do that, I'm going to have to complete God knows how many little tiny side quests that give me 20 points a time. So if they're too low level for you, you only get 20 experience points from each quest that you complete. So it's a bit of a funny one. So I'll probably wait till the next expansion comes out to get leveled up enough to put the new armor on. So that's what I'm kind of probably going to have to do when I can get some more experience. But Hearts of Stone is excellent, I've got to say, by the way.
Yeah, I've got it installed, ready to go. I've just hit level 30, so I can start doing the missions. But would it be worth me completing the main story first before I do the expansion, or does it not matter?
I would say, if I were you, I would complete the story, because I started Hearts of Stone when I was level 35, I think I was, 34 right, or 35. Yeah. And there were some tough moments in it, even at that level, because some of the enemies you're facing are like level 33, 34. So you could kind of take them on, but you're going to struggle a bit.
Right.
You're going to struggle. So I would finish the main game, get your level up a bit more, which obviously you will do because you get some crazy experience points just for finishing all the main story quests.
Yeah, the first Wild Hunt General I took down, I can't remember, is it Eridim or something? I think I got 1,000 XP just for that one guy, and it leveled me up one and a half sort of like numbers. I went from 28 and a half up to 30.
Yeah, so I would definitely do that first and then play Hearthstone, which will only take you... It took me probably about 10 hours, including the extra side quests and other stuff that I did in it. And now I'm just sort of wandering around. I've been on it tonight, funnily enough, but then I was like, I've got nothing really left to do now. So I'm kind of at a... And I had the first major glitch in The Witcher 3 that I've had since I've played it, where Geralt was kind of just floating in midair, doing like a bit of a sort of... squatting walk come run, sort of something like 3 or 4 feet off the floor, and when you got on the horse that was also floating 3 or 4 feet off the floor, and I couldn't figure out how to fix it, so I tried all sorts of stuff, and then it ended up at the camera completely disappeared inside of Geralt, so I couldn't see him anymore at all, and I was just kind of floating around on like this weird first person view with glimpses of the outside of his armor every now and again. So I did a save, reloaded the point, and then when I did that, it sort of sorted itself out. But yeah, that's probably the worst glitch I've had whilst playing the game, really. Yeah, it was very, very odd.
To say it's the first sort of like major glitch you've had and all the hours you've put in and the size of a game, that's quite a good testament to Project Red.
Oh yeah, I've had some minor glitches where I've killed guards and they're still just left half of them floating in midair when you've done it. And stuff like that, but that's the first time where there's something that's really affected my character or the way that he's moving around. It was a very, very weird moment, I've got to say, but still excellent. I mean, I can't praise it highly enough, really. If you like sort of open world games, you should definitely be playing The Witcher 3, really.
Yeah.
okay, Richard, anything else?
Just a couple of little ones. No, I've not played too much of either, but I'll just quickly flash through them. I've started playing The Walking Dead Series 1 after being slightly bullied by Chris and Robbins playing it.
Whoa! Have you never played this? You're crazy. No.
Did you not play on 360 or PS3?
I've got no interest in these Telltale games, and I hope to God that they've improved the way they look, because this one looks like it was drawn by my newborn child and pretty much moves like it as well. Because
it's a story, though. It's a story.
Story, man.
This is the only time I agree with Stu. it's all about the story, Richard, in this game.
I'm on your side here. Don't worry. I won't let you get
Shut up, you.
Yeah, but you're wrong. It's fantastic.
You're both wrong.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm going to stick with it. You know, I'm not going to give up. So I'm going to stick with it and just try and play through it and just see how it pans out.
What episode are you on? Is it on the first one or
two?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I did play it briefly. This was about 2 years ago on my phone, and I got to about 3 or 4 on my phone. So I sort of know what's going to happen at the moment, so there's no big surprises. But I'll keep playing, I'll get through it, and it'll probably be solid, but it's not going to really... It's not my kind of thing. Mm. It's just not, you know.
That's fair enough.
I'm a third-person action game. That is my ballpark, so...
I was a little bit different. See, I started The Walking Dead, and I just didn't continue it. I got about maybe halfway through... And I was just like, I'm done with this. I found it insanely boring. I just couldn't get on with it at all. But it's not just to take anything away from the type of game it was, because, you know, conversely, The Wolf Among Us, I thought was brilliant.
Yep.
I loved it.
I bought into
that story, the characters. I ended up going off and reading all the books. The Walking Dead, see, I'm not really a big fan of it anyway. So it's horses for courses, I think. But I definitely know how well loved it is by some... other misguided members of the community.
Right, yeah, and then finally, Halo 5. I've just started playing. I listened to any of you guys are the podcast, the Hunt the Troop podcast.
Yeah, loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I had no interest in getting Halo at all until Bongo started talking about his podcast, so I started listening to it.
I got bullied into that by Greg,
It got me really hyped for the game. I mean... So far, the game doesn't seem that linked into the story of the podcast, but like I said, I've probably played half of the first level. And so far, to me, it looks like Destiny, obviously, because, you know, it's Bungie. But
it's not Bungie.
Is it not? Sorry, it's not 343, sorry.
It's definitely not Bungie. But Bungie did the original game, so there will be similarities.
And it's... It just seems like a more linear Destiny so far. But I've not played enough to really pass any judgment.
That'll be kind of what it is.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it's going to be.
I played the first mission, and I really enjoyed that first mission. I think it looks superb. It runs smooth as butter. The frame rate and the graphics, they've got them spot on. And I like the gun style. The slight tweak to Halo 4 style. So it's a bit more Call of Duty where you can pull your sights up. Because a while ago I played the Master Chief Collection, I played Halo 1, and every time you press a friggin' left trigger to pull your sights up, it throws a grenade. So, yeah. They've come a long way.
I've probably played as much as... Sounds like we've all played about the same. Yeah. We started off dipping our toes in and playing the first campaign mission. I found it a little bit busy. I thought it played very well. Yeah. You know, you're jumping around and firing, and it was all good. I thought it was very busy. It seemed like they threw everything but the kitchen sink at the first level.
I think that was to grab your attention, really. Or...
Yeah, I guess it sort of does. I mean, I really miss... I loved, you know, I just looking back with these rose-tinted spectacles, that first Halo game where you ended up getting off your spaceship at the start and you go down to the planet or onto the Halo. And it's pretty much barren, and it's only you just start to see pockets of enemies, only little pockets of enemies, and you're slowly approaching them, and it's almost like stealthily getting towards them, whereas this was just full on, everything was going on. It was pretty crazy, but yeah, it's pretty good looking. Would you play any more? So you're not multiplayer, Nat, would you play any?
No, I put the non-competitiveness in competitive multiplayer. I'm shy at multiplayer games, so I'll get my way through the story. I've heard it's not that long, maybe 7-8 hours, so I should get through it in about 14.
What about playing some Warzone with friends? Would that be interest you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is a bit of a G4TE. Yeah. Halo thing, I think I've noticed.
Yeah, there's a Spartan company you can join.
Yeah.
But I know for Greg's Extra Life, his last sort of like game on his list is playing some Halo 5 multiplayer. So I'm going to help him along with that and jump in with that.
I would play with friends.
Yeah.
It's the same as COD. I hate playing COD online.
Yeah, I do.
I used to have a bunch of friends, probably 10 other people, you know, maybe 10, 15 people who played COD. And when we played together, yeah, you know, I quite enjoyed it. It had something to it. But just going for your against Joe Public sort of multiplayer, it's not my thing.
Yeah. So the custom games are going to be the thing for Halo for us. With Halo 4, we used to do some fantastic G4T custom Halo nights. So as soon as these start coming around, as soon as the Forge is available to us, I think we're going to have some good nights on that.
Yeah. Oh, is that following? I'm not aware of that.
They've not released the Forge yet. I reckon that's going to be as big a download as the actual game itself, because they've added so much to it. I think that's why it wasn't actually on the disc.
Right.
I'm only guessing, but...
Okay. Rich?
Yep, that's me.
Have we milked you for everything?
That's all. Well, I've got a few more games, but, you know, I think I've talked for long enough, so... Yeah, let's move on.
Mark?
As we discussed, I've sort of like ploughing on through The Witcher 3. I've talked about it a few times now. So at the last stages, I've taken down one of the Wild Hunt generals. I've got two more to go. So hopefully next time I'm on the show, I should have completed that. And I'm hoping to be talking about the expansion like Stu's playing.
Did you get that expansion as... Like, have you just bought the expansion because you know you're going to play it? Or did you have a bundle?
Because some game sharing with Greg, we discussed which version to get. And because Greg's bought it from the US store, I've got it cheaper than what I could have even bought the single version for on the UK store. Right. And we both knew this is going to be a huge game. We both love RPGs. So... getting the DLC expansion, the Ultimate Edition, whatever it was a bit of a no-brainer for us. Whereas on Batman Arkham Knight, we didn't do that. We just went for the base game.
Yeah.
Like Tomb Raider next week, we've gone for the season pass version because we're both suckers. We're part of the problem.
Oh dear!
But we love the last Tomb Raider game. We know this is going to be fantastic. There are single player components to the expansions. If it had been all multiplayer, then we wouldn't have bothered. But because there's single player involved, then it's a no brainer for us. And it cost me £30 to go halves on the American version. Where over here, the sort of like larger version with the expansion pack, I think, is about £75-80.
Wow, ridiculous. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah, and the base version on its own is 50. So this game sharing is fantastic. I love it. That's why I'm more on the Xbox One now than the PS4, because of all the game sharing.
Okay, let's just... I'm going to interrupt then, because that's quite an interesting... Stuart, you don't have an Xbox One, do you?
I don't, know. I only have a PS4.
Is that on your radar at all?
No, do you know, every time I see a decent deal, because there's been loads of good deals lately, you know, where they're selling for $249 or whatever, and $289 with a free game and all that kind of stuff. And I do look at it and then I think, I don't need one. There's no, there's nothing that I can't play elsewhere. You know what I mean? It's, if I don't get it on the PS4, I can usually get it on PC, because even Tomb Raider's coming in the early part of next year on PC anyway.
Yeah.
So it's kind of really, there's no exclusives that are coming out on the Xbox One that would tempt me to buy one at all.
Yeah. No, I can totally see that. I mean, I've talked before about it. I just got the PS4, and it really was just an absolute luxury to get that, because really, what have I got that I haven't got access to elsewhere with an Xbox and a PC? Bloodborne, The Order. There's not really much else.
Which Bloodborne you didn't really like.
Sacrilege.
Bloodborne, I couldn't. Yeah, well, yeah. I haven't talked about that. You lynched, Stuart.
Yeah. I love that game.
And Nat and Rich, you have an Xbox One?
Yeah, I rock the Xbone. So, yeah, I mean, Stu, does this console share thing that you have on the Xbox not sort of appeal to you at all? Because obviously it's just a big money saver.
It does actually work on PS4 as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can do the same thing on the PS4. Yeah. So you can actually do that on the PS4 as well. Oh. But yeah, you set one as your home console and one as a secondary account or something weird, don't you, on the PS4?
Yeah, on the Xbox it's classed as your home console. On the PS4 it's classed as your primary console.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so yeah, you could definitely do it.
I didn't know, because no one seems to talk about it on the PlayStation. It just seems to be Xbox people seem to bang on about it quite a lot, but PlayStation people seem to not really mention it, to be honest. And I podcast with two of the biggest Sony fanboys going. So.
Yeah, I'm sure them two are sharing everything, you know what I'm saying?
I'm not sure I do. Mark, carry on.
Yes. As a coincidence to Nat playing The Walking Dead, I've also been playing The Walking Dead, but I've been playing Season 2. Way ago, back last Christmas, they had a Telltale bundle sale on the Xbox One, where you got The Walking Dead Season 1 and 2, you got Wolf Among Us, you got Game of Thrones and Tales from the Borderlands, all in a massive bundle, the full seasons for them all, and I think it's something like £30. So I picked that up at the time, and I've just got round to playing them now. And I was a bit apprehensive with Season 2, because I heard a lot of people say, oh, it's not as good as Season 1, and oh, it's a bit funny because you're playing as Clementine, then it's weird how people get a little girl to make the decisions. But after episodes 1 and 2, wow, I'm loving it. It's brilliant. There's so much shit they throw at you in episode 1. It's the typical Walking Dead. You can't get attached to anybody because next thing you turn around, they're fucking dead. You can't just sort of like focus in on one objective because it just changes so quickly. The writing in it's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah. No, I like Season 2 as much as Season 1. It was good. It's good.
Do you think having a break helps with that? Do you think a lot of people maybe were just...
Yeah, probably.
It was too hot on the heels of the other one.
Yeah. The episodes, I don't like breaks in between. I do like to play all the episodes sort of like as close together as I can. So I will wait for the full season to come out. Which obviously is not a problem with Walking Dead, but things like Tales from the Borderlands, that's finally all out now, so I will start that soon. But between the two seasons, yeah, I think a break does probably help.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's interesting. I did just this morning, myself and Antonio did a Life is Strange spoiler cast, so we talked about that in great detail.
I'm tempted to pick that up as well.
Oh, it's very good. It's really, really good. But the first episode that came out in January this year, and we both were like trying to remember what the hell happened, you know, in the earlier episodes. Yeah. So I'm having to read through walkthroughs and, you know, trying to sort of remember what the hell went on.
That happened with me on The Wolf Among Us, because I got that on PS3 because it was on sale once. And the last episode, episode 5, took forever to come out. And I'd forgotten a lot of it.
Yeah.
But it was still a fantastic game, though.
I mean, I'll be honest, Life is Strange, the longest was between episodes 1 and 2. And then they sort of kind of stuck to an 8-week schedule between releases, so it wasn't too terrible.
Yeah,
it was about 8 weeks between the others. So they stuck to that as well, which was quite good.
Yeah,
it doesn't bother me too much, but I can see where you're coming from.
But yeah, season 2, I'm loving it. Fantastic. Similar game style. They've done a few tweaks and made a few improvements, but the main thing for me on them sort of games is the story and the voice acting, which is top notch. Melissa Hutchinson, you've had on your show, Stu.
She
does a brilliant job. And she's met up with an old familiar face from season 1, but I won't say who because it's spoilerish. Yeah. But yeah, that was a nice surprise for me. As soon as I saw him, I knew who it was. My face lit up and I felt that emotion. So the game's definitely making me feel the emotions again. So yeah, fantastic. Love it.
Yeah, it's good. It is good.
So that's me for this week. What about you, Fraser? Or are we going to let Stu go first?
Stu?
Dare you let Stu go first? Have we got enough time?
No, I'm not too bad this week, actually. I haven't played a ton of stuff, but I'll tell you what I did do today, because you may or may not be aware, but I bought my copy of Fallout 4 from the grey market.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'd have never guessed.
but it cost me £20.
Wow.
For a pre-order for Fallout 4. So I was like, well, what are you going to lose? But sure enough, my code arrived in my email box today, and I promptly went to Steam, typed it in, not a problem, and it's preloaded and ready to go now. So yeah, it's all downloaded. It's all 23 gigabytes.
Yeah.
Nice. Which apparently is bigger than all the other Fallout games combined together.
Put together, yeah.
Put together that one download. And I'm sure there'll probably be, well, hopefully there won't be. There shouldn't be a day one patch, but there probably will be of some description. Who knows? So I'm all ready for Tuesday when that goes live. Hopefully be able to play that. I've even downloaded the Pip-Boy app onto my phone, and I'm going to stick it on my wrist with some gaffer tape. So it should be fine. Don't need no plastic casing thing. It'll be fine. I'll just stick it on there with a bit of gaffer tape. No worries.
Can't you just get one of those jogging things, what you put around your arms? You see joggers
with. It'll be fine. I don't know what everyone's fussing about, to be honest. I don't know why I'm paying all that money. You could, like you say, you could just get a joggers thing and stick it on your wrist, man. Job done. What's the problem? But it looks pretty cool. I must admit, it when you first put it on, it asks you, do you want to link it to your PC, PS4, or not 360, but Xbox One? There you go. You see, Natras is demonstrating there as we speak. But yeah, it just asks you, do you want to connect? And obviously it doesn't at the moment until you've got the game up and running. But once it connects, then you get live stats on your phone of what your character stats are and all that sort of stuff, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know why people are paying all this crazy money for these plastic things that are going to stick on the wrist, or probably not, to be quite honest, because they look like a prick.
Sure, we'll come to that. We've got, I think we're covering that in some news, so we can definitely throw some opinions at that.
So that's preloaded, not played it, obviously. Apart from that, obviously talked about Hearts of Stone. The one thing I will say about that, the ending, there is a good ending and a bad ending, but that's all there is. There's only two endings of Hearts of Stone, and even what's classed as a good ending, I wasn't particularly happy about. You know what I mean? Because, when you play it, there are two main characters in the game, and unfortunately, neither of them are particularly likable.
Right. So, are these new characters?
Yeah, totally new characters. But neither of them are particularly likable. So even when you get what's the good ending, it's like, well, he was a bit of a prick anyway. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, but other than that, it's an excellent journey to that little bit of an ending. So I wasn't too concerned about that, but it's still good. It's still good, but the ending's a little bit meh. And then apart from that, I've only played two other games, and they're only little ones. I played Mindfork, which Chris MJW very kindly sent me a gift copy of on iOS, which was a game that he played at EGX, and it's kind of a bit like Duet. I don't know whether any of you played that on the iOS.
No.
No.
Is it a rhythm action game?
It is the one with two balls, yes.
Yeah.
It is one. It's very difficult.
With two balls, what Nashos won't have very long.
Yeah, two balls sort of revolving. You're trying to get them through different spaces and things like that.
Yeah, Millie's completed every single level.
That sounds to me exactly like it would be Millie's.
Yeah, she's finished everything on it. But this game, so I gave it to Millie because Chris said, I reckon Millie would like this. And it's basically geometric shapes, and you have to guide a little pointy, for want of a better word, spaceship around them as the screen changes shape constantly. So the gaps that you have to get through get smaller and smaller, and obviously you just touch left to go left and touch right to go right, and that's kind of about it, really. But it's got a cool soundtrack, really nice beat, and some nice electronic music, and it's kind of a cool game, but it took Millie to finish the entire game, that's it, which was 79p, because we went on the store to have a look how much it was. So,
rolled the boat out for you.
But it took, honestly, Millie to finish the whole game about 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
20 minutes since you were. Because I thought there was more levels unlocked, but it wasn't. It was just the menu option. So I was like, oh, there isn't any more.
I saw that video you put up on Facebook where Millie was playing Super Hexagon. Jesus, we're in about 10 seconds, my eyes were spinning and I was going dizzy. How does she do that, man?
It's unbelievable. Idea. Do you know what's quite... That was the only other game I played this week because... Mm. And the only reason being, they did an update. Right. And it's the first update that they've done on Super Hexagon for probably about 3 years or 2 years. And he's updated it so it runs at a full 60 frames a second now on all our iOS devices and stuff. Wow. So it's been updated. And that's the first time Millie's played it in probably about 3 years. And she's still got 124 seconds. Which is kind of, I mean, her highest score is 312, which she got when she was 10. She was 10 years old when she did that. And at the time she got it, she was something like number 56 in the world out of about 100,000 players. Nice. And Even now, that's something like 829 or something out of over 600,000 players. So,
wow.
You know, even now it's still fairly high ranking on the leaderboard. But she's back on it, though. The funny thing is she played it a bit and already the bug's got her again and she's been picking it up again and playing it. So,
do you feel like a proud dad when she's playing all these games?
if she gets into the crazy score, I'll try and get a video of it and get see if she can get up higher than the... Because I'll be honest with you, when you get past 200 seconds, you think it looks faster, 100 and whatever, 24 seconds, it goes completely crazy. I mean, you can barely see it, like the thing moving. I have no idea how she did it when she did it. But she played hours and hours for months on end, so it is kind of cool. As for myself, yeah, Millie's not human. That's kind of probably about it. Yeah, she's a robot. But as for myself, the highest score I've got this week after having played again was 68 seconds. So there you go. That's kind of it for me. That seems to be my limit is around... The highest I ever got was about 84 seconds. But yeah, it's a tough game. Have you ever played this, Fraser?
No, I haven't. No, it's one of those things I can't. I should. I mean, what's it going to do? Take me 2 seconds to download it onto my iPad or something, right? So.
Yeah. Oh, it's tiny. Tiny
yeah,
game.
Yeah. No, I should. But I know I won't like it, so I don't.
No, it's not funny, man. If it's not your kind of thing, you're not going to. If you don't like Duet, you'll definitely not like Super Hexagon.
Yeah, no,
there is a style of game, you know, that
I'm
sort of
too old and crotchety for games like that now.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it takes, like I say, it took months away of Millie's life when she played that game. She was crazy.
Yeah, which is amazing that something so small, you know, like you say, you know, such a small game can get devoted, or people can get just, you never know what's going to come out of left field, what game is going to be like the smallest game here can absorb, like, you know, 20 times its value in time. It's quite amazing. So.
Oh yeah, and a lot of it for her though was just simply beating people's times on my friends list on the iOS. That's all she wanted to do it for, original. Right. Then she found leaderboards, and then it was like, I reckon I can get that time. So that's how she. And then she just started progressing away up the main leaderboards.
Quite a determined girl then.
Oh yeah, she was fixated on it, but. But it passed. It passed. But every now and again, like Duet and, you know, the other odd game, she'll find a game that gets her hooked in that. And they're always that style of game. They're always that sort of very Twitch accurate sort of movement games. But who knows? And that's kind of it for me. So over to you, Fraser.
Okay, well, you would be aware then, Stuart, having my last podcast was with you, that I was playing The Order 1886. I had spoken of this. By Mark, Richard, either of you played this?
Yeah, I've played through this, yeah.
No, are you a fan?
Love this game. You love this.
I got loads of stick for trying to defend this game. And yeah, it is short, but I enjoyed it still.
Oh, sorry, just a minute. Did you say game then? Sorry.
Yeah. Short interactive movie.
Well, then there's no surprises as to what I sort of felt about it. I had heard, you know, some scathing reviews when it first came out. I didn't own the PS4. It wasn't on my radar to buy at the time, but I had sort of knew that the reviews were coming out and it hadn't lived up to the hype. And then I sort of, as the dust settled, I'd sort of heard, oh, well, you know, it's not so bad. It got a little bit of a bad rap, or, you know, whatever. Some people just had the knives out for Sony. And okay, all right. So I picked it up and whatever. But I mean, really, I talked about it with Stu the other night, and it's just so, so linear.
Yeah.
There's so little that it allows you to do outside of what it is telling you to do. I found it immensely frustrating. I finished it. I sat back. I mean, I give, you know, the positives. It's the most amazing looking game I think I've ever played. It's just phenomenal. You know, there were actually some of the good. I did get into some of the firefights. Some of it was in stupidly easy to get to the next bit. I mean, press a button and you're off to the next section of the game. But then it hit me with some firefights, which were, I put, you know, 7-8 tries and then had to put the controller down and come back to it the next day, and then I could get through it and approach it from different strategies. But that was very few and far between. I mean, that's what Gears of War is like for 8 hours. You know, this was like 20 minutes of the whole game. So I found it thoroughly disappointing. I'm trying to be as diplomatic as possible.
I try to look at it like the original Assassin's Creed. That was more like a tech demo, and because a lot of people have bought that day one, The Order 1886, have supported the developer. The next iteration, fingers crossed, was going to be superb, I hope. Because if they do leave it open...
Are they talking about another one?
Well, they've left... Have you finished it yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. After you've had a cup of tea, you just finished it. Yeah, but they do leave it wide open.
Yeah. Stu was banging on about Super Hexagon.
Played it through on hard. They do leave it wide open for the sequel. So.
They do, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to make one.
No.
Well, I don't know whether they could. I mean, the IP is very strong. The characters were great. It was great, you know, in terms of... I thought, actually, you know me, I'm not one for stories. But I actually did quite get into the story and little twists at the end. Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit formulaic. You know, the guy who's helping you ends up being, oops, spoiler, whatever.
Spoilers? Whatever. Oh, my God. You only find that out after 2.5 hours.
Who would have thought that I'd be the one who would spoil the game for people?
What sort of price point did you pay for this one then, Fraser?
$20, Brent. $20 brand
new. Yeah, that's probably what it's worth, to be honest. If I paid full price day one.
That's Canadian, yeah.
That's about £3 then, is that?
It's not that bad, but it's approaching that bad. Yeah, that's probably about £12 or something like that.
I think again, though, this is similar to the last Assassin's Creed game, Unity. I think they were just trying to show what the PS4 can actually do, you know, if you got it into the hands of someone who's going to sort of do what they can with it and sort of show how good the graphics can look. But I think the problem is you can either have one or the other, because even with the power that the PS4 and Xbox One have got, there's still only so much power under the bonnet, so you've got to sacrifice something else if you're going for this game that looks amazing. You know, something else has got to give.
Well, something obviously did, sure. I mean, but to be fair, sorry, Mark, go on.
I was going to say, when you look at Witcher 3, though, that is such a huge game, but that looks amazing. The graphics are stunning. So,
I don't know. I did sit back at some points when I was playing it, and I thought, you know what, maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe people, there are people who are buying this game who enjoy the pacing, who enjoy, you know, pressing X to proceed and not doing much and getting, I don't know. I mean, look, some people like playing things like Super Hexagon. Some people like playing games I don't like, you know, so I just don't know.
I looked at The Order as a glorified Telltale game because that's sort of like what you do. You just press a button and move on and just enjoy the story. So it's more like a graphically superior version of that storytelling.
I think you're right. And you know what, Mark, you're bang on. Mark,
but it's not worth premium AAA rate.
No.
I do have buyer's remorse for getting it day one.
Yeah. That's,
and I think the other issue is the story itself just wasn't strong enough. It just wasn't, it didn't, for me, it wasn't that, it was good, but it wasn't amazing. You know, I didn't walk away and think, wow, that's like, you know, one of the best books I've ever read.
No, I see what you're saying. I think it was a decent story. Yeah, I don't think you walked away and you didn't, the characters were good, but I didn't walk away and feeling invested in them.
No.
I don't know, something, not like a Marcus Fenix or someone like that who ends up being your hero or whatever, so... So there you go. It is what it is. Yeah, at $20, Rich, buying that off the shelf brand new, and if I can flip it for, you know, $15, price of a rental, no big deal. But yeah, Mark, you hit the nail right on the head. Mm. If it's treating it like a Telltale game, that's, yeah. As a full AAA release, no, way off the mark. Very disappointing. So, but there you go. Thanks to my appearance on the Veteran Gamers, Duke was talking about a game called Mushroom 11.
Greg's favourite food, mushrooms. He hates them. We keep sending him pictures. Yeah, I had stuffed mushrooms yesterday for my dinner. I tweeted him some pictures of my mushrooms.
Okay.
He hates them.
Really? He also won't eat cabbage unless you mix it in his mashed potatoes.
So Mushroom 11 is a
is that PC game?
On Steam. 2D side-scrolling game. Basically, the premise for this game is you have a little sort of, it's called a mushroom, but I mean it's probably more like a spore or a fungus, and just left to its own devices, sitting on the ground, it will just suddenly grow. And then you have the ability with your mouse to erase parts of it, and then they will grow out the other side of it. So as you're erasing one side, it's growing out the other, and this gives you the mechanic to be able to move this mushroom spore around. So your object is to get from where you start to where you got to finish, and you're going over all these obstacles and things, and you know, as you're going down a pipe, you're erasing behind the mushroom, and it's growing up ahead of the mushroom and following the route of the pipe. And then when you need to try and get it up to different levels or shelves or across chasms or whatever, you're erasing and balancing and doing whatever. It's a fantastic game. I'm absolutely hook, line, and sinker, and I owe a debt of gratitude for Duke to bring that to my attention. I'm loving it.
How much was it? Is it a cheap game? Or?
I think $15, maybe $19. I can't quite remember the price on Steam. But yeah, it's one of those games. The music's by the Future Sound of London, so the music's spot on. I remember them from back in the day, and the graphics are nice. It's just a really, really well drawn out, atmospheric game. The way I've been approaching it, and Duke was, I think, saying the same thing as you. I've been coming back from work. I'll do a level which might take me 20 minutes, half an hour, and then pretty much just about had enough before, and I'll go off and I'll come back the next day and do another one. It's just a nice little time sink of a game. So I would definitely recommend anyone. Any of your PC gamer elitists, Stu, should go check this game out.
I have been eyeing it up. It's $10.99 in the UK.
Yeah, I would keep an eye on it. I mean, if you don't want to pay that, it's going to be around. It'll be around at some point, but it's garnering, like IGN gave it 9 out of 10. It's got the reviews to back it up. So, keep an eye on it for a Steam sale or something. It's a nice little game to have in the library. Sticking on 2D, powerhouse that is the Nintendo Corporation released Yoshi's Woolly World in North America a few weeks ago. We picked that up. That was a library rental. So those of you know that I Occasionally we'll grab a game from the library. So I put that on my wish list to reserve. It came up this week. Typical Nintendo all the way. Just exactly what you expect. I mean, it's slick from the moment you boot that game up. And there's little woolly Yoshis running around and bits of yarn and string. And it's just class all the way.
I'm not sort of like a big Nintendo player. But this game does look quite appealing to me. I like this sort of thing. I love Little Big Planet, and I love the upcoming is it Unravel? So this looks gorgeous. This does actually appeal to me, but sadly I won't be picking up a Wii U to get one.
No, I've got to say, Fraser, your Wii U is getting a lot of sort of usage at the moment, isn't it?
I think we're just finding, that it's just what they do so well. You know, when they release a title and they're not releasing that many and it's few and far between, but you go pick up any of the first party titles from Nintendo and none of them disappoint, except for maybe Donkey Kong. That was a bit shit. But there you go. Yoshi's Woolly World is fantastic. Super Mario 3D World, Hyrule Warriors, Smash Bros, Mario Kart. I mean, there's not... You're talking the Nintendo AAA goodness right there, and there's a definite number of them. Way more than I'm going to pick up on my PlayStation that I can't pick up on my Xbox. So it's a no-brainer, the Wii U as a second console, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. We've got one here. I mean, it's not my go-to console, but my kids swear by it. I mean, even just for that little gamepad that you can just use and play the games on, but for Smash Brothers, let's say Mario Kart, anything like that, just my kids go crazy for these games. So, like I say, for a second console, I think they can't be that expensive nowadays either, especially not the £400 you're paying for one of the big two. I think, like I say, it's a no-brainer, because everything Nintendo does has got Nintendo quality about it.
Yeah. So, I would say the thing to watch out now is the Wii U's are going to start dropping and falling in price all over the place. And then if they can just bring out budget titles, you know, when they used to, like they do like a Platinum Games they did for the Xbox 360 or something like that. They need to do that. Somebody was saying that they were doing that. I think Chris MJW was saying they were doing that for the 3DS games now in the UK. They haven't done that here yet in North America that I've seen. But if they could do that and just drop, because secondhand Wii U games are notoriously hard to get hold of and they're not cheap. I keep scouring every week for Bayonetta 2, but I can't find it for a decent price anywhere. At some point, I'm going to just have to bite the bullet and spend the $70.
Yeah, it is like that, because I've been trying to find a cheap copy of Lego City Undercover.
Yeah.
You remember that? And you just, for loving the money, you can't get it any cheaper than about £35.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Which is the price of a brand new game, pretty much, on the Wii U, but it's... I just don't think they must have made many copies of that game, or people have just held on to them, because you just can't seem to get it cheap anywhere.
No. The only saviour may be... See, we suffer... It's interesting now, actually, that there was... On the Nintendo Wii, they released Metroid Trilogy, right? On the Wii, the Metroid Trilogy came out, but they did a limited run of that, so... If you didn't pick that up on the first run, came to a few years later, those things were exchanging hands for like $80 to $100 a copy if you had a copy. Now they've got around that because they released them all on digital. So suddenly you could buy it for $10 on digital. Everybody who had these sitting on these copies who thought they were onto a gold mine, well, that's all useless now. So that may be something that we're going to benefit from the digital age coming up, is that there aren't many copies of Lego City Undercover. There aren't many copies of Bayonetta 2. But give it a year, 2 years, maybe even we have to wait till the NX comes out, and so be it. Bayonetta 2 suddenly drops down on a deal to $20. I can wait. I'm a patient man.
You might have to be, by the sound of it.
Well,
but
yeah.
I'm looking now on just on Google Shopping, and there's no Lego City Undercover cheaper than £35.
Yeah.
For the Wii U. You know, some are as high as 42. You know what I mean? And this came out almost at launch of the Wii U, so that's how long this has been out for.
They're bizarrely immune to the normal video game economics that we see everywhere. Because there's no Lego game that stays at full price point for very long. Okay. They drop like stones normally. So it's very strange. But anyway, so back to Yoshi's Woolly World. I mean, there's not much you know, it's if you've played any of the Yoshi games before on the 3DS or on I don't even think they had one on the 3DS yet. Or back on the DS, you know, or any Mario 2D games. I mean, it's quality. It's just well done. Lots of little secrets everywhere. The Yoshis are cute as ever. I mean, it's just unbelievable. The animation and the different types of Yoshis you can have. We did get sucked into Amiibo World last week. I was telling Stu this. My son bought 3 Amiibos. What was pretty neat on this one was if you go to the Yoshi shop or whatever, I don't know what it is, something like that, and you and we picked up the Link. No, which one did we pick up? We did do the Link, but the one that was funny was the Luigi Amiibo. We put that on the gamepad, and then suddenly the Yoshi, woolly Yoshi just changes all the colors to Luigi and has a big mustache on the front of him and everything. So they interact with all that pretty neat, and it's just great. It's just typical Wii Nintendo, good lighthearted fun and a joy to play. So, yeah, wonderful.
Excellent.
That's pretty much me. So, there we go. Right. So now I've been concentrating too much. I shouldn't come in. I shouldn't do myself last. It's hosting a hosting error. Yeah. I don't know what we're supposed to be doing next.
Now you know why Greg always goes first.
Yeah, I know Greg. Since he's the legend he is.
Yeah.
We don't have a news quiz. Do we want to do the news or do we want to go into a quiz? Let's do some news first, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's hammer through the news and then we'll do some news a quiz afterwards.
Yeah, when I picked up on earlier this week and I did a few retweets and it generated a bit of interest is Halo 5. The microtransactions in its first week generated over $500,000, which is unbelievable.
Not too shabby.
It's crazy. And these microtransactions are for rec bundles, which you can earn in-game, but I don't know. All these people buying they're just feeding the demon out there, really.
Yeah, you know, people who buy these, like, you know, bundles with a season pass in.
That's
that
different. That's
stuff.
That's
you know
proper
I mean?
Content. You can't get the DLC as earned in game, but these you can earn in game.
I don't know. People do. I mean, yeah. look how much Fallout Shelter made. Do you know what I mean? And that was a free to play iOS game, and it had made something like $20 million or something ridiculous. Wow. Just from selling loot chests or whatever the hell they were in the game.
Lunchboxes, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. People are crazy.
They are crazy, but do you think that 500,000 for us plebeians sounds like a lot of money? But I mean, in the grand scale of however many millions of copies they've sold, does it really
stand out as
a figure?
No, it's a drop in the ocean, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose because if you think that if everyone just buys a 79 pence sort of like rec pack, and you said there's like millions of copies out there, I suppose it will add up, won't it?
What does it give you, though? What do you actually get?
There's weapon skins, actual one-use, single-use weapons and vehicles in Warzone. A bit like the burn cards in Titanfall. So well, once you're dead, you lose it.
Who gives a shit about this stuff?
Exactly. Yeah,
I do not get this at all.
And there are some stuff which are permanent, and there's XP boosts and stuff. But I would not buy any of these rec packs. I'd just earn them in game because you do get quite a few rec points just by playing online anyway. So it's not exactly hard to get. So it just amazed me that they'd earn so much money in just 1 week.
Yeah, but like you know, these game developers and publishers will keep putting this stuff in the games if people keep buying it.
Oh, of course,
they'll
spend
time developing it because it's like, well, it's going to make them some cash, so why not?
Yeah, they'll be just laughing all the way to the bank. Just look at this bank statement. Ooh, look,
just a bit of gravy on top, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, they say here as well, microtransaction pricing range from $2 to $25. So would that be priced as $25 gets you 50 packs or something?
You know, they do what's called a Warzone bundle. And in the UK, I think that's, it's about £17. And it's when you look at in the sort of like in-game store, that's the biggest icon. And then the other ones are like really small.
Right.
And it doesn't say the price on the Warzone bundle in the game. It does on the other ones. And as soon as you select it, thinking, oh, what's this? It takes you straight to the Microsoft store and it wants $17.99 off you. But you do get a lot of rare stuff in that bundle, and you get quite a lot of cards compared to the other ones, but obviously you're paying for it.
Yep, some people are paying for it, obviously. Yeah. So, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
What have we got next there, Mark?
In the UK, a lot of Fallout 4 fans who pre-ordered the Pip-Boy edition with the massive retailer game, a lot of them got emails saying that their order's been cancelled because of processing payment processing errors. And there was a lot of uproar, people thinking they weren't going to get the game. Their hotlines were jammed, they were tweeting out, please bear with us. They have given an update saying that it was some sort of error, and they have a rest assured that all Fallout 4 Pip-Boy editions, if you pre-ordered it, are safe. So, but
so what are we saying? That loads of people got a piece of news they didn't like, and the internet blew up.
Yeah, it exploded. Then,
Oh dear! Are they all right now? The people who thought they
We'll find out next week, won't we?
Okay. They're
going to
be
all right. I've had bad experiences with game with their online side of things, and I wouldn't buy off them again if I could help it.
Yeah, I heard that. I think I remember as well there was a problem they had with something.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was now, but there was something they had about 3 or 4 months ago, I think, they had a problem with.
Yeah, they did, yeah. Oh, God, what was it? It was a big title as well. I can't remember which one it was.
I forgot now. No, I read it yesterday. I've forgotten. It's escaped me.
But I've had the problem I had was the payment error. And I had the money in the bank, and they said payment didn't go through, so it took an extra week for me to get my new release, which was a bit annoying at the time. but the sort of like update statement they gave was that we would like to reassure all customers that have pre-ordered their order is still reserved and being held for them. Stock will be secured in our distribution centre until we are able to ensure payment and delivery. This stock will not be released for general sale. So,
yeah, do you know what though? I can totally understand why these people were grieving and stuff, you know, and being pissed off about all this stuff. Because, you know, you've pre-ordered the game. How are you going to play that game if you can't stick a piece of plastic shit on your wrist? You know what I'm saying? I can understand, you know, why people are paying £100 to put a piece of plastic shit on the wrist.
Yeah.
Well, what can you say?
There was something similar in the US with this, because I'm sure some of the fellow lag friends I have on Facebook, they were kicking off that some of their pre-orders have been cancelled and they can't get the Pip-Boy edition. So,
yeah. Oh, so knows.
So I don't think it's unique to the UK.
This Pip-Boy edition exclusive to just to game? Or
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, it is. So I can't think why anyone would ever buy anything from game.
Yeah.
Apart from the fact that every game they sell is at least £12 more than anywhere else.
Yeah, I had to buy Forza 5 from them because they were the only ones who could sell the limited edition. Because it's not often I get this sort of like, obviously with Game Jam I do now, but before disc versions I didn't usually get the limited editions, but all the Forzas I did because of all the extras you used to get. And yeah, game got the exclusive for that. So,
do you feel like trapped, Mark?
Yeah.
In a situation like that, do you feel like you're being held to ransom?
I did do at that time. Yeah, I was quite annoyed. I had to order from them because I did send them a strongly worded email saying, "I'm never buying from you again." And then I had to sheepishly place an order from them because I had no other choice. But most of my purchases
I don't think
now are digital.
They were probably bothered, you know.
No, no. I don't think they remembered me.
Mark ordering from us, how fucking dare he?
Yeah.
After what you
said. Two-faced bastard. I do, obviously, now with GameShare, I do try to go digital with all my purchases now because it's so much easier than getting off your ass to change a disc.
The CEO over there showing your email to everyone going, bloody Mark, Annex, I'll tell you.
I want now, you can imagine the CEO, he puts it up on Mark's email up on PowerPoint at the board meeting. Have you seen this? I want heads on sticks. Why is this customer like this?
In hindsight, it was such a long time ago as well. I think it was Crackdown 2. It wasn't such a good game anyway.
Pulling it out for the big guys. Brilliant. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully the Fallout 4 fanboys get their Pip-Boys.
Yeah.
Do you think, really, right? Let's be honest here. out of all those people that have pre-ordered the Pip-Boy edition, what percentage of those people do you think are going to be sat there day one with that thing strapped on the wrist with a phone screen?
Oh, I think it'll be quite high. I think, yeah. But it'll only last a couple of days and then we'll get bored of it.
No, the wife will come in and go, what the f***ing hell are you doing? What is that? What is that? How old are you?
How much?
Just on a side note, have any of you guys seen on YouTube that one-off custom Fallout 4 console, Xbox One console someone had modified? Where it's got the, like, rust... It looks like a rusty piece of metal, and it's got sort of, like, clear panels in the top, and you can see down it, and the hard drive and everything's got the Pip-Boy logo, the Vault-Boy logo and everything, and it's got multicoloured LEDs in it. Oh, it looks really cool.
Yeah, I saw this. It did look cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did look very nice.
Yeah. I'm quite impressed with that.
It fascinates me what people are capable of doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That someone sat there and gone, oh, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this. And then they just do it.
Yeah.
And it looks amazing. And it's like, how do you do that? How is that possible?
If I was Mr. Webster, I could have put it on the Twitch stream, but I didn't touch anything.
We're doing okay as it is. Yeah. It's off topic, but I watched, if this is for Chinny, if he's listening, I watched a program last night on Back to the Future. And a section of the program was devoted to the fans, and a lot was devoted to how they've done custom cars, and people have done their own versions of the cars. And it was amazing the detail that some people have gone into. So, yeah, when people do get behind an idea and put some love and attention into it, it's all good. So,
yeah, you can buy USB-powered flux capacitors on Amazon.
Nice.
Crazy. Yeah.
And if very you're very, good. Very lucky, you might come across a DeLorean just in a random storage locker.
Yeah, that happens. I've seen that. Yeah, storage on TV.
Yeah, oh, you've got some right stick for that, didn't you?
Ah, whatever, who cares?
That was funny. I was laughing my head off at work and listening to that.
It's fine. I don't care.
Okay, so we have two choices now. We can either go in. We have some podcast trivia, which has this has come in from Teflon. Superman, friend of the show, or I've prepared a traditional Game Punchers type 3-question each quiz. Should we do both?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Okay,
while Greg's not here, we'll just abuse everything just and make whatever. It a long show. Yeah, you're okay, hosting, Fraser. Right. It's up to you.
Okay. Well, let's start off with the three question quiz, which I'm not ready to do yet, but I have got some questions. I've got questions lined up. I just need to get them up here. Okay. We'll start off. Let's go in order of, I don't know, Richard, in order of hair on the head. I don't know. Who's Richard? Richard or Mark? Richard and Mark.
I don't know. We're pretty close there. Yeah. I've got a lot around the back. That's where it all conjugates.
Yeah.
It's all hibernating around the back there.
Like a monk. I've got a monk's haircut.
Okay, so here we go. Question one. This is with three questions each, and then hopefully we won't need a tiebreaker because I didn't prepare one. Question number one for you, Richard. What is the name of the? Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
What is the name of the seeress who helps guide you in Fable 2? Is it A. Nelda, B. Esmeralda, C. Cynthia, or 4. Teresa?
No idea. So I'm going to take a punt at Esmeralda, B.
Is that your final answer?
Looking Mark's... at Mark.
Sorry, I should have waited till you said final answer.
No, it's obviously wrong. But
you can't change it. You've said Esmeralda now. Play the game.
I'll say 100%.
It's locked in, man. It's locked in.
Yeah. Mark, you don't get anything for it, but go on.
No, Teresa.
It is Teresa. Yeah. Well done.
I love that game.
I thought it was Teresa, yeah. I have to say, as well.
I put tons of hours into that game.
Yeah.
Have you Fable 2 fanboys up there? That's
I finished Fable 2.
Yeah, 2 and 3. Yeah.
It was rated as probably the best one, right? Wasn't it?
That actually, I wasn't an RPG player, but that actually got me into RPGs because it's so simple. It was a stepping stone. And then from there, I tried Mass Effect because I never sort of like even looked at Mass Effect, and I absolutely adored Mass Effect. So yeah, thanks to Fable 2, I've got into RPGs now.
Nice. See, Peter, you know, you did do something.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he's full of shit, but he helped me.
I liked Fable 2 because I found a cheat pretty much straight at the start, which enabled me to just gain
cheating noob
credits. Yes, man, I cheated like
you know, it always comes back to cheating when Fraser's around, but you know what I'm saying?
No qualms about cheating on games.
I remember your bloody, what was it, cookie clicker? You even cheated on that, didn't you?
Oh, that one I downloaded a program that did automatic clicking for me. And then I hacked. Then I ended up hacking the source code.
Brilliant.
Commitment to the cause, that one.
It
I
is.
I had to finish it. I tell you what, games like Cookie Clicker, you do anything to get that done. Just get it done and out of your life as quickly as possible. Mark.
Yes.
In what country does the game Medal of Honor European Assault begin?
France. Normandy.
Oh, doesn't even want the selection.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I forgot about the multiple choice. Yeah.
You? Okay. A, Belgium. B, Italy. C, Germany. Or 4, France.
France. I actually played this on PC back in the day. I loved this game.
Nice. Okay. Well, yeah, that's got a green bit on there, which I actually got that right too. So I'm pleased with that. Good. Yes, correct. You're off the mark. Richard, you're trailing. Stuart, you ready?
Yes.
What is the name of the ruler of the reptiles in the game Chrono Trigger?
Oh, brilliant.
Is it?
I'm glad I didn't get a Nintendo question.
What?
I'd be fucked.
I've never even played this game at
Actually,
all.
You know what? I'm going to have to skip that one because I can't see the answer in it.
Brilliant. It'll probably just be as bad as the next one.
Here we go. This one is better. You'll get this one. Who is the Russian computer engineer that designed Tetris? Was it A, Alexis Pajinsky, B, Arnold Schwarzenegger,
that famous Russian actor,
C, Alexei Pajitnov, or D, Arnold Palmer?
So say the two, obviously, Russian names again.
Okay. Was it A, Arnold Schwarzenegger, or B, Arnold Palmer? Alexis Pajinsky.
Yeah.
Or Alexei Pajitnov.
I think it's Alexei Pajitnov. Is it?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that.
It is correct. The right answer. Nice. Rich, you're getting left behind here.
Yeah, I'm already calling bullshit on this quiz straight away.
You'd fit in well at Game Punchers.
Yeah.
Okay, here's your second question. In Parasite Eve, how many versions of the end boss do you have to face? Is it 2, 3, 4, or 5?
No
Parasite
idea.
Eve. Did you play Parasite Eve?
No, that's a game that I just missed out on by the sound of things. So I'm going to go with... Look at Mark's eyes. Go with
I've never
three.
Even heard of it.
Go with 3.
I think you've got 3. Mark, apparently you have 3 eyes.
3.
Is the wrong answer.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, gee whiz. It's 4.
What is that game even? Does anyone
I've not even heard of it.
Parasite Eve?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, make it sound like we should have done.
I know, you know what? I think it's Resident Evil, isn't it? One of those. It was sort of like a sort of thing.
I have to Google that thing. I have no idea what the hell
it was. It was Square Enix. The game is a sequel to the novel Parasite Eve. I remember it. I think I played it. I can't remember why. Anyway, we'll have to do some searching on that. I have to do some reading.
Yeah, whatever the hell.
PlayStation back in the day. I'm sure I played it. That's probably why I picked up and saved the question. Anyway, sorry, Rich.
It's not going to run the Quizmaster. Has to Google the actual game itself.
Yeah. What do you mean? I've been researching.
I'd also go, Parasite Eve.
Okay, Mark.
Yes.
What planet is threatened in Biohazard Battle? Did you ever play Biohazard Battle?
Never heard of that, neither.
How is that?
Hang on. Biohazard.
Oh, no, now he's Googling that.
Right. Biohazard Battle. Ooh, Sega Genesis.
Oh, I've got a Sega man as well, but I never played that one.
See, how am I supposed to know who's played what, eh?
What are the options then? I've got a 25% chance.
What planet is threatened in biohazard battle? Is it Averon, Mars, Scriptar, or Chung Fu?
I really want to pick Chung Fu, but I'll go for Mars. I'll go for the obvious one.
Yeah, that was what I went for, but it's the wrong answer.
Please let it be Chung Fu.
It's not Chung Fu either. I'm sorry. No, it's not Scriptar. It's Averon.
Right.
Averon. Oh, there you go.
So, sorry about that.
Yeah, I agree with it. Nah,
look, you should look up Biohazard quiz. Battle. It's got one of those killer killer box arts on the front. It's great. No, Stuart, you've got a chance to steam into the lead.
Take
here.
The lead, if I don't get the most abstract question ever.
Okay, it's not too abstract here, but I don't know if you've played it or not. All right, I can tell you right now, I haven't played it. There you go. In Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Double Agent...
Oh, I played some of them, not that.
I played a little bit of that.
Where does Sam avert an attack on a geothermal plant?
All right, I can probably have a good guess at this, I guess.
Is it A, Japan, B, Canada,
Japan,
C, Iceland, or D, the United States of America?
I'm going to go for Japan.
Japan. Is that your final answer?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, Stuart. Is it your final answer?
It is my final answer. It is.
It's locked in. It's the wrong answer. No, it was, in fact, Iceland. Sam Fisher has been to Iceland.
There you go. Who'd have known the other?
Ah, yeah, there is a snowy level right at the beginning.
Yeah, you see, I've never played it. So I wouldn't, you know. Never mind. It was close. I nearly took the lead for a second there.
Our mate Richard Webster would have got that. Apparently he goes to Iceland, he told us.
It's going soon, isn't it? Yeah.
He told us on the text chat today.
There's a lot of bargains there, so, you know, can't vault him.
Yeah, yeah. Two for £5, roast beef.
Or buy a chicken for a fiver.
Okay. Richard, you've got a chance to make yourself level here.
Here we go. Okay.
You've got to be in it to win it. All right, I got some good news and I've got some bad news for you.
Fraser's heard of a game, that's the good news.
The bad news is the chances of you having played this game are pretty much slim to none.
You never know.
You never
know. Atari 2600. Here we go.
It's before that, I think. Here we go.
Pong.
How do you control your plane in the 1970s biplane arcade game? How do you control your plane in the 1970s biplane arcade game? The game is biplane. Is it two joysticks, a trackball, one joystick and a button, or the directional buttons?
Can I go with? I've seen a lot of old arcades. I'm going to take a punt at the trackball.
It's a decent punt, Richard. But it's the wrong time. Oh,
I'd have gone for that as well.
Really? I'd have gone for the two joysticks.
Oh, Stuart. Yeah, see, look, you're a veteran at this. Two joysticks. It was two joysticks. So there you go. Sorry, Rich. You are out. Big fat. I'm just writing a big fat zero.
Yeah.
Okay. Mark.
Yes.
Who is the king in the game Kingdom Hearts?
This is another Nintendo.
I'm not giving you choices on this.
Oh, mind you, it's a Sony title, isn't it? Oh, I've no idea. You're not giving me choices?
I'll give you the choices.
I'm going to say, you'd have to do because I have not got a clue. I've never played the Kingdom Hearts.
No, I tell you what, I will give you the choices because you can probably eliminate two of them. And that'll take you to where Stu was in his question earlier. Is it A, Cartman, B, Mickey Mouse, C, Donald Duck, or D, Bart Simpson?
Right, so it's obviously either between Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck. So, being Disney, you've got to go Mickey Mouse.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Is the right answer. Nice.
I knew that Kingdom Hearts is a Disney tie-in, but I didn't know that.
Well, you got that right, so that's good. Stu, pressure's on.
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you?
Probably not.
I see. Okay, here we go. What do you fight at the end of the first level in God of War?
Ooh. Go on, give me the choices, man. I think I might get this.
Is it A, Medusa, B, the Hydra, C, Ares, or D, Cerberi?
Right, I'm trying to think. Original God of War. So say them again. Say it again. So we've got Medusa, Ares.
Medusa, the Hydra, Ares, yeah. Or Cerberi.
I'm going to go, I think, it's the Cerberi. That's what I'm going to go for. I'm probably wrong, but I'm going to go for that.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Pressure's on. What a final question. It's a good one too, but unfortunately, Stu, ooh, you've got it wrong.
Damn it.
It was the Hydra.
Oh, do you know, I nearly said the Hydra as well. I was between those two.
When was the last time you played that?
I got it when it was, you know, when they brought out the
collection.
Yeah, the collection.
I think it's a good 3 or 4 years ago since I've played that.
Yeah. So it's a while.
Because it's that first level where you're going from boat to boat and then you fight the Hydra and you grab and you pull the head down over the ship's mast and impale it there.
Yes.
And you go down and you see those women down below.
Yeah.
That was. Yeah. It's the first level. Oh, well, unfortunately there, Stuart, I've got to say you didn't get that right. And that means Mark is our winner.
Yeah, thanks to an easy peasy question.
Yeah, sorry, Richard, you didn't get, I don't think you got the breaks on that one. But that's the way it goes, mate.
It might do better in listeners' trivia.
That's where the cookie crumb moves.
It is. Cookie clicker. okay, so then we are lucky enough then to be double dipping on quizzes. Rich, so taking pity on you, I'm going to start you off. This is from Teflon then. Hey, OC crew, here are your questions for this week. Greg asked me to include a couple extras since you are having some guests on. Good luck and have fun. So that's great. Thank you very much, Teflon. I didn't get the just before I start that, I want to get the chat up here. Has anyone been keeping an eye on the chat?
No. I can't because I've got that many windows open.
Soul Brothers in there, Teflon's in there. Chinny's been very rude to one of our guests.
Yeah, well, I was new.
That's a surprise.
Typically, what always happens in the chat, lots of support for Nintendo. People backing up what I say on Nintendo. Soul Brother says Stu is a 00 agent and can't be seen.
It's true.
Yes, that's right. Here we go.
If anyone sees him, he'll have to kill you.
Says his camera's actually on. He just has a VG sign in front of it.
That's also true.
So I think that's it. Who else have we got in the chat? Are we missing anyone else? No. Who is RCGC?
It's Sarah Gregory. I think she's a fellow Canadian.
Oh, really?
She joined the community a good year or so ago, yeah. I'm friends with her on PS4. She's a PS4 player.
Oh, good. Fellow Canadian. Yeah, hook me up on PS4. Fumu 2, FOOMO2. That would be great. Yeah, always good to see the Canadians in there.
I might be wrong. Okay. I've been known to be wrong, but I'm positive she's Canadian.
So we have here, first question for Rich. Which pistol? Are you ready? I don't know. How many questions have we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, could almost do like a 2-question each little mini competition. Who's up for it? Another mini competition?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. Let's go. Okay, Richard, you're first. Pistol? Yeah, are you into Mass Effect, Richard?
Not even slightly. Let's go. Come on.
Here we go.
Oh, I mean, she would love this question.
Not necessarily. It's a while since I played that game.
Which pistol is Commander Shepard always holding in Mass Effect promotional imagery? Is it A, the M6 Carnifex, B, the M3 Predator, C, the M77 Paladin, or D, the N7 Eagle?
No idea. I'll go with B.
B? Yep, a good choice. Well, no, it's not a good choice, actually. It's a good way to choose just to pull a... letter out of the air. I would have done the same. It's not. It's A, Richard. It was the M6 Carnifex, dude. What the?
How could you not know that, you idiot?
I've got to put another X against your name.
I fell down the stairs tonight. I think I've had a bang to the head.
No, I would have had no idea myself.
No, I didn't, to be honest. Sure. I'd have gone for the N7.
It's a bad run of questions for you. Mark.
Yes.
In XCOM, Enemy Unknown, what is the most soldiers you can send out in a squad? Were you an XCOMer?
Yes, I loved it.
Is it 4, 7, 6, or 5?
You start with 4, and you can build up to take more. I think it's 6. I'll go 6.
Mark.
Yeah.
He's unstoppable, boys and girls. He's got that right.
I loved that game. Another one Greg forced onto me. you got to play it. But yeah, it's a fantastic game.
Yeah, it wasn't my cup of tea. I thought it was boring.
It was free on PlayStation Plus on PS3 a while ago, a couple of years ago.
It ended up
superb.
Being in great deals everywhere afterwards, which surprised me because it was pretty much a killer title.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really like it, but that's not saying much. It was very popular and everyone spoke very highly of it. So, Stuart.
Right, I'm ready.
Okay. Have you got Blops 3 yet?
Oh, yeah, I love that game.
How many specialists are available in Call of Duty Black Ops 3 multiplayer? Is it 7, 10, 5, or 9?
Specialists, I'm going to go with... I have no idea. This is an educated guess. But I'm going to go with...
I'd like you to tell us how educated it is.
Right. Well, I'm thinking, right, specialists, you're not going to have more than... So you're not going to have 9 or, was it 10? 9 or 10, 2 of the choices?
Yes.
So I think it's between 5 and 7 because I don't think you're going to have that many different specialists. I'm going to go with 5. I'm going to go with 5. Go with the lowest one.
Stu, you are a man after my own heart. Someone who sits there. See, I love it. I love the thought process. That's the best part of doing these quizzes. And when you go through all the thought process there and you get it absolutely wrong.
Damn it, you had me there.
It's 9.
Shit.
9, wow. I'd have gone for a low number because are they like classes?
I'm not special... sure.
No, I don't know.
They all do, even.
I love that, though. I remember having one question. I absolutely had it all worked out. I rambled on for about 5 minutes how I had done and my due diligence and worked out my answer, and I just couldn't have been further off the mark.
Yeah, we've always said on these trivia questions from Jason Johnson that we cannot use logic because logic never works.
Richard, you've got to save some face here.
You've got to pull this out of the bag now.
That's right. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, bring it on.
How are you on your MMOs, EVE Online?
You poor bastard.
It's the way the cards are falling, which I'm really sorry.
Well, I've got a 1 in 4 chance, so...
Okay, how close are you to a keyboard and can get Wikipedia? Yeah, that's right. Learn to type silent. Do not get a mechanical keyboard for podcasting. The MMO EVE Online launched in what year? 2003, 2007, 2006, or 2004?
I think...
Rich. If anything can be said, you're consistent. And I respect that. No, you're wrong. It's 2003.
Yeah,
which surprised me. Think I would have gone for 2007. So I would have been way off. So there you go. Cheer up, Rich.
I'm just happy to be here.
If you're going to take anything away from your experience. Okay, Mark.
Yes.
Visceral Games most recently released Battlefield Hardline, one of my favorites. It's not true. But what was the first game to come out of that studio? Was it A, Dead Space, B, Godfather the Game, C, The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, or D, 007, Agent Under Fire?
Now, if all them four games are actually made by Visceral Games, I'm going to use logic. We're not supposed to use logic, but I think the 007 one is the oldest game. What was the other three? Sorry.
It was Dead Space.
Yeah, and that's definitely Visceral. Yeah, that's older, I think.
The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Oh,
or the 007 Agent Under Fire.
My head's saying 007, but my gut feeling is Godfather. So I'll go Godfather.
Mark. Gotta go with... What was your gut? Which did you go with? Your gut, your head?
Yeah, because, no, my head was saying 007.
Go, your head. You should have gone with your head.
Yeah.
007.
Oh, so logic would have won.
Yeah. See, you outdid yourself.
Yeah.
You don't use logic. Actually,
that I should have used logic, yeah.
Psychology on you. Yeah. It was 007 Agent Under Fire.
Yeah, because that's the oldest game. So they must, all four must be Visceral Games then. Because I know for a fact Dead Space was.
Yep, I'm not too sure. The only interesting thing I can pull out of that, the interesting thing about 007 Agent Under Fire, it is the PlayStation game disc you need if you want to soft mod your PlayStation.
Right.
For some reason, that's those copies of that are changing money.
Keeps coming back.
Cheating, yeah. Cheating noob. I'm sure my son had that on the original Xbox. That is one of the games I gave to the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, there was one level in that was quite good where you're in a car and the helicopter's chasing you. That's the only thing I can remember about that game.
So. Yeah, it hasn't aged well.
No.
No, funny enough, not a lot of them have. Okay, Stuart, remember
I'm
your
ready,
name.
I'm ready.
Yes. name the game based on the back of the box description. Actually, this one will be a pass the round. It normally is anyway, so... here we go. Name the game based on the back of the box description. Embark on the ultimate fantasy RPG for Nintendo 3DS. Explore the vast world of Luxendark as a warrior of light. Form flexible strategies by combining jobs and abilities. Time your turns tactically with the new blank and blank system. A new breed of turn-based command battle has arrived.
I have not a clue. So this is a Nintendo 3DS game, is it?
It would appear so.
Ah, oh, man. And it's obviously Japanese.
Just JRPG.
It's obviously a Japanese game. I'm trying to think what sort of games have been on 3DS. I don't know. Chrono Trigger.
No, you're going too old there. It's... I'm having to do a little bit of Wikipedia.
Are you passing it around?
Yeah, I'll pass it around. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to give the answer yet. Richard, any ideas?
If it's not Animal Crossing, then no.
Ready? Were you a fan of... Did you play Animal Crossing on the 3DS?
A little bit. But
It's high on my radar to pick up. Do you think I should?
My boys speak very highly of it, so I mean, I only played a very, very little bit of it, but not enough to really recommend or not recommend. So, but Japanese, you know, JRPGs.
No from you, Mark.
The only JRPG I know of on 3DS is the Pokemon games.
No, I might. Yeah, I don't know. Is it worth trying to eke out any clues? I don't think it is by the sounds of it. This game is actually, telling you no lies, this game is on my radar to pick up at some point. But I wouldn't have remembered the name of it anyway. I would have kicked myself once I'd heard the answer. It was Bravely Default.
I do know the name. I know the name. I wouldn't have known from the description, though.
No, it's picked up some pretty high praise. I think it's considered to be one of the best games on the 3DS. So... there we go. So, Mark, well, guess what? Guess, Mark, you win again.
I know. What's all that about?
It's a hollow victory, that last one.
Yeah. Thank you, Jason Johnson.
Yes, very much. Thanks a lot for that. Okay. Mark, help me out here. Where are we next?
New releases. I'm going to do them next.
Yes.
You want me to do them?
I don't mind. Do you want to do those?
Yeah, can do.
Okay.
So the new releases for 7th of November to the 14th of November. We have, the first one's Alakine's Gun on Xbox One, PS4 and PC. That's out on November the 10th. We have this tiny little game coming out on November the 10th called Fallout 4. Never heard of it. That's on Xbox One, PS4 and PC. The best new release going to be out this year, according to me and Greg, Rise of the Tomb Raider on Xbox One and Xbox 360 on November the 10th. StarCraft 2, Legacy of the Void, I presume this is another expansion pack. That's on PC and Mac on November the 10th. And we have Rodeo the Sky Soldier on Wii U and 3DS on November the 10th.
Sweet.
Super Beat Sonic is coming out on Vita on the 10th of November too, and that are the new releases for next week. A short list this week.
There you go. Some big games though.
Two massive titles, yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Have you heard about the embargo on the embargo with Fallout 4?
I quickly saw the thing on one of the websites. Yeah, I didn't really read into it.
Yeah, so basically, they've been given an embargo on when they can announce when the review's going to be live for after the embargo for the reviews. So now they're only allowed to say after, I think it's after some certain date, after 10 a.m., before they're allowed to say when the actual review's going to go live.
Right.
Okay.
So now Bethesda are keeping things tight, man.
Now, normally that might signal some warning bells.
No, they're still obviously allowing you to release your... I think it's either one day or 2 days before the game's released. I think the biggest ones are when the embargo's after release date. You're not allowed to give us your review until after the release date.
Right, oh, okay, yeah, of course. Okay, so it's an exciting week. So it sounds like, Mark, you're going on the big release titles, you're going for a Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Because this came up in a discussion. Somebody was talking to me... or somebody was having a discussion on Twitter. Who was it? Katie Stubbs was talking about Fallout 4 being the sort of the massive release. But I think, lest we forget, just what a juggernaut Tomb Raider is.
Yeah. The last Tomb Raider game was in my top five of the year. Absolutely loved it. I've played it twice. I played it on the 360, and then I played it again on the PS4 in the Definitive Edition. I'm going to get hated for this, but I didn't get on with Fallout 3. I didn't like it. I seemed to be wandering around a lot and then just get killed so easily. I never had any ammo. So I really struggled with Fallout 3.
But I think that's a key point, is that Tomb Raider was accessible for a lot of people. It was in 2013, it was Game Puncher's Game of the Year.
Yeah.
And it's a title that's accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
So everybody who plays Fallout 4 is probably going to play Tomb Raider as well.
Yeah.
But you can't do the vice versa. You can't say that everybody who plays Tomb Raider is going to play Fallout 4. I think it's very easy to forget that the fans of Fallout are very, very vocal.
Yeah.
They're very excited. They're all crying tears over there not getting their Pip-Boys and stuff like that, and having tantrums in their mum's basements. But that, I don't think, is going to compare anything to the amount that Tomb Raider... I think in the terms of sales figures, Tomb Raider is going to kill it.
Yeah. I do want to play Fallout 4 because I have enjoyed all the trailers and all the hype leading up to it and all the information we've had given to us at E3 and everything. But it's going to be another like Metal Gear Solid 5 for me. It's going to be a cheaper pickup when it's on sale. Because... I've got that many games, backlog of games. I'm not in a rush to play another huge game. After The Witcher 3, when I finish that, I'm just going to play a few short games. I'm a bit like Chinny on that respect. I like to play a few short games and a massive one. And then a few more short ones. So, yeah, Fallout 4. I will get to play it eventually, but it's going to be probably next year sometime.
Richard, either of these on your playlist for next week or
future? Yeah, I mean, I'll be getting Alakine's Gun, obviously, on first day. Rise of the Tomb Raider all the way. I thought the last game was class. So if they make a game of that quality again, it can't fail. So Tomb Raider all the way. I'll pick up Fallout 4, like Mark, when it comes down in price. I mean, people talking about the 80, 100 hours in it. at the moment, that's just, I don't want that anymore at the moment. I've got enough games that I've got that I want to play a nice, you know, maybe 20, 30, 40 hour game, which, you know, is relatively short. So, yeah, Tomb Raider all the way for me.
Stu, we know you've got your copy of Fallout 4 from Brazil.
Yeah, South American code.
I have, indeed. Hey, it worked fine. What can I say? I was impressed.
And no, it came. Right.
It came early enough to preload it and everything, man. No, messing.
But you said before, you don't really have much of a choice here, because with Tomb Raider, you'd have to wait for the PC version, which is next year.
I do.
Or even PS4 versions next holiday.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'll probably pick it up earlier in the year, I guess, when it comes out on PC.
Because when I heard this wasn't coming to PS4 for another year, I was really gutted. Because I wouldn't have initially bothered buying this on Xbox One. I would have waited, but with the game sharing, it's obviously swung it around for me. But yeah, for Verbal Rob and Chris MJW, I feel for them guys having to wait another year. Because to avoid spoilers for a whole year is the hardest thing. That's what annoyed me more than anything when I knew it wasn't coming to PS4 until next holiday, is getting it spoiled.
Is that such a hard thing, though?
Yeah, because if you're invested in the game, if you enjoyed the last game as much as I did, the story wasn't fantastic, but you don't want it spoiled anyway, do you?
I don't think it's as critical with something like Tomb Raider is, though. Mm. I mean, you're still working towards just getting to the end. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe if there's any plot twist, you don't want to know the twist, do you?
Well, that she's a man or something.
Yeah, she's got a lesbian lover.
I think that'll be fairly easy to avoid the major spoilers. I don't think I'm too worried about that, to be honest. You know what I mean? Just don't look at any conversations about it, that's all.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Help me out, Mark, here. Yep. What's next?
We've got some ongoing things. We haven't got any specific playdates, but we've got some ongoing things you can join in with. We've got the Halo 5 Spartan Company. If you go onto Halo Waypoint on the website, 343's website, or I think you can use the Halo Waypoint app on the Xbox One, I'm not 100% sure. You can search for the G4TE community group, put a request in to join. PGTip77 set this up, and he will accept you, and you'll be part of our company.
Nice. I have to do that. Yeah. I'm going to do that tonight when we get off here, because I want to try and get on and do some gaming with Greg and Bongo the CN, if I can.
We've got our usual weekly Clash of Clans and Boom Beach operations and missions, so if you're into them, mobile gaming, send the relevant requests off to the G4TE groups. And we have our We Are Epic video competition, which is if you have a 30-second or less clip which shows some extreme skill, or it's really funny, or you just think it's really, really cool, you can send that to either Bongo the Sane at bongo@g4t.com if you want to send a link, or for those Facebookers, you can put it directly on our Facebook page at epic.g4t.com. This runs till the end of December, and all the entrants will be shortlisted through some judges, which I am one of them, and then the public will vote which is the best one, and you can win $20 or equivalent.
Hey, that's grand. Mm. Look, I'm going to interrupt you quickly there, Mark. Yep. And just I know Teflon has said a couple of times that he hasn't said that we need to, but I think we do him a favour and remind everyone that apparently it's Mass Effect Day, N7 Day.
Oh, yeah, I read that somewhere, yeah. Is that when the original Mass Effect was released or something?
I don't know.
No, I don't either. It's anyway, like when...
He says play Mass Effect, and there's probably quite a few people playing Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. So if you've got that sitting in your fancy...
I've got it on my 360, but my 360's not been turned on for about a year.
No. You don't want to turn that on. You might see a red ring. Racing hot laps.
Yeah.
Actually, again, you know what, Mark? I'm sorry to do this. You're doing all the work here, but...
Forza 6. Because Bongo won October's hot lap challenge on Forza 6, he's thrown in an extra incentive. He's called it the Hot Loot Challenge, and you can win if you... God, this sounds so wrong. If you beat Bongo, you can win his loot. So I don't know what loot it is. He's not
is
said.
It's hot loot.
Yeah. Now I know he's just had his cesspit emptied, so I won't be tempted to. But you never know. It's on Rio Mountain in a Mini Cooper 1965, and you can go up to a maximum of the E300 in the class and the rating, whatever it's called. I can't remember what it's called now. What's it called? The rating of a car? I can't remember. I don't know. Anyway, you can't go higher than
E300. I don't know. The lemon rating.
Yeah. You just make sure you got Bongo for saying on your friends list, and you'll show up on his leaderboard. So it's as simple as that. And that runs for the whole of November. I'll just take a squeak because my throat's so. We have a hot lap challenge on Project Cars run by the wonderful Gonzo _FK on Twitter. This is across all generations, whether it be PC, Xbox One or PS4. You just need to tweet a picture of your fastest lap time. And the track is, I don't know how you pronounce this, Bruno or Brno GP. It's Brno GP track in the Audi R18 LMP1. Obviously, this has just started, so I've got no times yet, but this runs over the whole of November. So like I say, just tweet at Gonzo_FK. F1 2015 Hot Lap Challenge. This is also a cross-gen between PS4 and Xbox One. November's track is Austria in the Dry. I bet you loved last month's track, didn't you, Fraser? Canada Dry?
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, we picked up on that.
So if you're on the Xbox One, make sure you got David the Alien, it's all one word, on your friends list. So you can see the leaderboards. And on PS4, make sure you got Morty 1884. That's MORTY 1884 on your friends list. And that runs for 2 weeks in November. So that's just started today. And that runs for 2 weeks. And that's it for the Hot Lap Challenges.
Super. All right, we finished with that car nonsense.
Yep. There's a lot of members who like that stuff.
No, it's all good. Victory achieved. So we run a competition called Victory Achieved, which is when you finish a game. If you want to get an easy one, go do the Order 1886. Just go knock that one out. Then take a picture of yourself with the titles in the background and tweet the name of the game. And I think you have to hashtag Victory Achieved to the Twitter account at g4te.com. Post that up, you go into the prize pool, and then I think this contest is running till from now to the 31st of December.
Yeah.
Somebody will get picked out at the end. The more times you enter it, the more chances you have to win, and you get a $20 gift card or equivalent in your currency of choice.
The only thing there is the Twitter handle, you have to spell the dot, it's at g4tedotcom.
Don't tell them that. Right? You're not doing yourself any favors, right?
I can't wait. I'm not eligible to win anyway.
Are we not?
No.
Right. Richard, how would you like to read out the victory achieved?
Okay, yep. Okay, first off, we've got Infected Psyche, who was finished Rocket League, if it can be finished by the look of it.
Yeah, apparently there's a season mode and you do get credits. Me and Bongo had a bit of a conversation about this and we've let it slide because there are credits and we're not sure. So we give him the benefit of the doubt.
No, yeah. I think if you see credits, that's good.
Yeah.
Fair enough. We have got Steffi Business, who has completed Until Dawn. We've got Scotty Tubbs, who has done Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. We have the lovely Carl Adams, Adamski86, who has done Tomb Raider, the Definitive Edition.
Nice game.
We have got Batch Gaming, who has completed the shittiest game I've ever played, I Am Bread.
That's the Stu Was game, Matt, if I ever saw one.
What's the matter with you?
Well, getting through that.
I've got, I give that game some props. It's worth it for the laugh value.
I do like Toast, so I might like that game.
it's just another one of those stupid physics games, isn't it, really?
Yeah. I would give him the award this month just for managing to get through that game, so fair play. We've got Greasy Fish Lips for completing The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
Nice one, Marty.
We've got my favourite trivia giver, Teflon12, for completing Halo 5 Guardians already. Nice. So that was pretty quick. We've got my favourite Southerner. Sorry about that. Pilch Reed, who has completed Numa, Breath of Life. We have Flecky90, who has finished Tales from the Borderland. We've got another Halo 5 Guardians from the lovely Filthy. And finally, we've got John Mouse, who has finished Resistance 3.
So I presume John Mouse must have played that using PS Now. Yeah, that's one you recommended, wasn't it, Stu? I love that game.
Yeah, I've not played that. A great reason to get the 7-day free trial, because you could probably easily finish it in the 7 days.
Yeah.
So get a 7-day trial, finish Resistance, and then forget about it.
Top tip there, guys.
Yeah.
I think I played Resistance 3 on your recommendation, Stuart. It wasn't so bad.
What do you mean it wasn't so bad? It's amazing. It's a great game. Playing it again, it still holds up so well now, even playing it now. It is a good game. It's a very, very good,
good
game.
It's good. I don't know if it was amazing.
Come on, the plague gun, man. That is amazing. It was the weapons. The greatest thing about that game, apart from the story, I thought the story and the voice acting and everything was excellent, but the weapons were just brilliant. The secondary modes and all the weapons were cool.
Yeah, thinking about it now, actually, I think some of the scripted firefights were some of the best I've played.
It was good. It was good. Yeah. I mean, that Magnum with the tracer bullets. You know, so I fire them in and then explode them. Fantastic.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, fair play. Okay, so shall we move on to some closing notes? How are we done for wrapping up? We've hit 2 hours. Done very well. Okay, so closing notes. If you want to be part of a conversation, we're here where we are right now on Twitch, twitch.tv/G4TE or live.g4te.com. Normally that's, what time is that normally? It's 6 p.m.
6 p.m. Eastern Standard. Yeah, 11 p.m. UK and... 3 p.m. Pacific.
What if you're in Japan?
Well, if you were Greg, you'd say any other country, look it up yourself on Google because it's not difficult. So.
Yeah, or just add 5 hours or something. Yeah. If you want to email the show, you can do that podcast@g4te.com. If you want to tweet, it's @OC_podcast. There's a Facebook group. FB.G4TE.
There's a lot of URLs there, aren't there?
Yeah, gives 20% voucher on game Green Man Gaming, GMG.G4TE.com. Just tweet somebody from the show if you got any questions about stuff like that. If you want to donate, you can donate.G. Who there? What happened here?
Somebody got hold of Mr. OCD URL centric Mr. Parsnip Nose.
Right, okay, yeah, somebody got hold of the... I can create URLs. Yeah. Holy moly. Donate.g4te.com if you want to donate to the prize pool. We're on iTunes and Stitcher as well as you... Oh, sorry, iTunes and Stitcher reviews are welcome as well as YouTube reviews. I don't think we've checked the... Anyone check the iTunes reviews? No, we're a bit behind on that. But if you have left us one, thank you. We'll get back to that as soon as possible and give you a... our thanks. Right, closing comments. Let's start with one of our guests.
Yeah, I'm going to say we should let our guest go first.
Yeah, Mr. Natras.
Closing comments in what sense?
any comments? Shout outs?
Plug your podcast and your gamer tag and any shout outs.
Yep. I am Nat on the Mighty Boss Wave podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Natras79, or you can find me on the X-Bone at Rnat79. Shout-outs, I've only got a couple. First one is to you guys for giving me the honour of being on. Obviously, this is all quite new to me, and I am still a super fan of all this. So
it's... That was Mark.
Been great having you. I've loved you on the
podcast. I tried to get somebody else on, but you know, I have actually.
No, you were my first choice. Honest.
Yeah. So honest. You know, been an absolute honour. My good Cockney pal Pilch Reed, who I have quite a good to and fro with on the Twitters, and then finally just. My missus and my little baby Jasper.
Nice. Very good. Did you plug the podcast?
Yep, the Boss Wave. So listen to that. There's two excellent guys on there and a dolt. But we'll let you judge which is the dolt yourselves. So he sometimes does stupid accents and things like that. So, you know.
He does a grand job. Mr. Fowler.
Hello. Yes, I'd obviously like to shout out you guys for inviting me on also. It's been a pleasure to do my first full Overseas Connection podcast. It's very cool.
Excellent.
Also, shout out Chinny, because you never know. He might turn up tomorrow. Who knows? Who knows? Obviously, we have a little show called the Veteran Gamers Podcast, which broadcasts live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. UK time. Usually, it does change occasionally for other commitments, etc. But it's normally 9 p.m. on a Sunday, and obviously we're on iTunes and all that bollocks. So if you want to look us up, you can. And I'd like to shout out all the Extra Lifers who are playing tonight on behalf of the VG Hub team. So we've got Bongo from this very podcast, Robin Tate, Gary DeFelice, Greg DeLacy, Kim Woods, Scott Cook, Gary Lever, Jennifer Accord, Travis Robble, Louis Raimundo, and Raging PDM. So that's who we're playing on the VG Hub team. And currently up to $3,256 raised. So well done.
Well done, guys.
Very nice.
So there you go. And that's it for me.
Good. Nice one, Stuart. Glad you had that list. Thanks for that. Mark.
Yeah, I want to shout out both Nat and Stu for joining us. It's been great having you guys on. Stu's a legend. Stu was the first sort of like podcast I ever listened to back in the other 35 days when we had that community going, and I've not looked back since. I've listened to every single episode for God knows how many years now.
You are a crazy man.
I know, yeah. So you and both Greg and the Couch Mercers, you guys got me into all this, and I love doing it now. And Nat, it's been a great addition to the Boss Wave, and I love the banter we have on the Boom Beach chat and everything, so it's been great to finally have you on the show. To Fraser for doing a great job hosting again, because I was too scared to host, because I've got all this crap running as well, so I've got too much on my mind.
We're going to get you in the host seat.
Yeah, I'll do it eventually, I'll do it one day, yeah. And to, like everyone else's, all the Extra Lifers tonight, keep up the good work. I'll be there with you guys tomorrow to help you through the last few hours. And you're just doing a fantastic job, so well done, everyone. And Fraser, over to you.
You're here. Well, actually, Mark, you've pretty much it's what he said.
Yeah.
So everything he said about Richard, it's great to have you on the show, Richard. I think it's the first time you and I have actually talked in live time, so that's great, and it's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's weird with you guys. I mean, it's the first time I've ever spoke to. I've spoke to Stu before. I spoke to you and Mark for the first time, but it seems like I've known you for
long. That's what I love about this community. It may be the first time we've seen each other face to face and spoke, but it feels like I've known you for ages. And it'd be like if I spoke to, well, I've met Chris MJW, obviously, at EGX, but you know what I mean? You just seem to know everybody. We're all like a little lovely family. I love it.
Yeah.
Going all soppy now. Go on, carry on.
Give over. No, but you're right. So yes, yeah, pleasure, Rich, and keep up the good work on the Boss Wave. Congratulations on your son.
Thank you.
On Jasper. Look, I remember the name.
I feel guilty calling my dog Jasper now.
we used to have a rabbit called Jasper.
Well, you think that's bad? My other son is called. His name's Felix. And within probably 2 months of him being born, my next door neighbour got a cat and called it Felix.
And does it eat Felix cat food?
Well, he does eat cat food, which is good. But no, I'm pretty sure he's a real boy.
No, I'm on about the neighbour's cat, you muppet.
my boy does eat cat. We've got two cats, and if you leave that cat food unattended, that boy...
Oh, no. He will eat the cat food, there you go.
Yeah, at least anything going, bless him.
Yeah. Excellent.
That's great. Thanks. Keep up the good work on Boss Wave, Rich.
Thank you.
Yep, Stuart, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for coming on board.
You're very welcome.
Much appreciated. And get
the pleasure's been all mine.
I feel like we have to say, you know, we're all secretly rooting that you can get the band back together at some point. with no, where's this Mike Chin guy? Get the band. You've got to get them to cut. You're on a mission from God.
I don't know. Look, he'll be back tomorrow. As far as I know, he's not sent me a text or phoned me or anything and going, Stu, man, I can't do tomorrow either. So he should be fine tomorrow.
I've got a sofa to move.
Yeah, all this house moving stuff, it's hard work, man.
She's dragging me to IKEA.
I know, yeah.
Decorating. Yeah, I got dragged to IKEA today, so I know that I can feel his pain. Okay, so that's pretty much it. Oh, thanks to Mark, and obviously the same with the Extra Life guys, Greg, and the rest of the team, and we miss you and whoever wasn't here today. Thanks very much for supporting me. Mark, if you want to, when you do come, the key to doing the hosting thing is not to care. Right?
Just so you know, just wing it.
If you make mistakes or whatever, but it just doesn't matter. So, we'll get you in the hosting chair at some point for sure. And that's probably about it. Thanks to everyone who's listening. I'll do a quick list out on who I can see in the Twitch stream here, because I've got this up here. Teflon. Oh, they've all just jumped out. Teflon's the only one. RCGC, who's the mysterious Canadian that we'll have to meet at some point. It still says Bongo's in there. Maybe he's. I guess he's listening while he's playing. Go, Bongo. We love you. Long time. Who else?
Potato.
And then there's the veteran gamers is still there. So I guess that's Chinny. So maybe
it's definitely Chinny. I don't think Duke would have given me the grief he was doing earlier. So. I think that was definitely Chinny stuff.
Good earlier. Stuff. Okay. Right.
And Duke will be playing something on Steam at this point in time anyway.
Yeah.
He will, yeah. I got to go and give him some props for Mushroom 11.
Yeah.
So good. All right. So I think that just about does us. Mark, you got some exit music for us?
I have. There we go. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So you are, we're going video then?
We're doing Twitch and everything.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Or it's cup of tea time.
Although I've just fell down our stairs, which was good.
that's not very good, is it?
Have you hurt anything or just your pride?
A bit of my hip and my elbow, but
your hip.
Yeah,
moly, you are an old man.
Fraser Morse, never heard of him. never heard of him. Right.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on. Yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.